Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. There's been a lot going on in the T-Lab world. I've been traveling. I was in Kentucky for a few days. We did it the 18th. We spoke at the Knowledge Conference on the 21st and the 20th. So there's been a lot happening. Now, the show today is really, I'm really happy with the show today and the information we're going to go over, but it might not be as cutting, breaking news kind of as we typically have been. Some of it is, but some of it's stuff that I'm going to be covering that happened over the last couple of days that I want to comment on. But in general, I'm really happy with the direction of all this because there's really important things we're going to talk about today. And a lot of this rings true for me personally with, in fact, specifically what I'm going to start out by reading to you is something that I wrote in 2017. It's an article that I'll share with you. I'm actually going to plan on editing it a little bit and republishing it because it just seems so perfectly suited for where we are right now. Now, as you can see from the title, we're going to be talking about the HHS whistleblower, which Project Veritas discussed and published. And of course, people are willing to dismiss that out of hand just because he's debunked, whatever that ultimately means for the people that say that kind of thing. The reality is there's a valid person making valid claims that they're publicly saying, and there's videos showing the doctors saying them. And we'll go over it. So regardless of what you think of all conservatives or Project Veritas or whatever they've done in the past or their very clear selective editing in the past, it doesn't change what you're going to see today that will absolutely back up what we're saying, what this one doctor thinks and plenty of other information. We're also going to talk about misinformation and how you're being told that you're too stupid to do your own research openly from CNN. In fact, Brian Stelter of all people on reliable sources. And there's a correction on their article because they made a mistake on the article by telling people about misinformation. We're going to talk about that today. A quick touch on ivermectin. A discussion of a couple of videos that are coming out of your government, the White House, as well as an interview with Dr. Collins and some really alarming discussion kind of telling you, showing you the reality. Your future's not, this is going to continue. This is not going away. The next one's coming. We got to be, this is what they're going to tell you. And that, they're not talking about tomorrow, you know, 10 years from now or however they're framing this. They're talking about now. The reality is your new normal is this. This is where you're going to stay unless we do something about it. And she's telling you that. Also talking about medical pre-crime and how that's your future and boosters are coming no matter what, even though they just voted. It's all being told to you right on the surface if you're just paying attention. Now, we're also going to talk about Pfizer and 5 to 11-year-olds and the information they're putting out within that and what that really shows you. Of course, Australia just becoming exactly what we kept telling you that it was becoming. And it's a precursor. It's a signal about where we're going as well. That's not a secret. And we're going to finish the discussion of Wuhan and Fort Detrick, and not a deep dive again. I've done it many times. But today we're going to talk about how both, interestingly, on both sides of this argument, new information is coming out in an interesting time. I'm skeptical of all of it, but we'll get into that today. But I want to start out, like I said, by reading from this article. Now, or really what I wrote in general, but this is, it's so relevant to today. Now, the article was called Who is Calling the Shots? Now, at the time, it was, of course, foreign policy focused because that's where my mind was predominantly focused. And it's just as relevant in that regard today, whether we're talking about Israeli government influence, Saudi Arabia, any number of things we could point to. But think about this in the context of not just foreign policy, powerful people, authority, but obviously where we're going today. Now, it starts with a quote. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Thomas Jefferson. And it sort of rings true with the other quote. I don't want to probably misquote it from, now I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, we'll move past it. As you probably know, the quote that, you know, that people who read the newspaper are informed, people who don't are uninformed, or, you know, are the other way around. The point being is that the newspaper is not where you should be going for all of your information, if not any of it. But it begins, the idea of the United States at one point was synonymous with the idea of vision, morality, leadership. A shining light in a world drowning within corruption and dishonesty. This was at least the perception that its actions reverberated throughout the world. the illuminating the path for those striving to break free from the shackles of government. Now, yes, this was what we were told to think. And yes, many people still believe that. And you know what? Sure, it could be true. But the reality is your government has clearly taken that in a different direction, if it was ever that way to truly begin with. Now, the mission of The Last American Vagabond has always been to shine light into the dark corners of society and force the average citizen to think for themselves, to look beyond the biased content regurgitated from mainstream media and develop one's own opinion using common sense and deductive logic. Americans find themselves in a country that has shed the extra mental weight of its honor and morality, had they been genuine to begin with, yet deftly held on to its power, of course. Now, looking at where this country began compared to where it currently stands, one can honestly wonder with whom that power currently resides. Obviously, in 2017, valid question. More so today, I think, than ever. Now, the system once set in place, ostensibly designed to give power to the people, is now only a phantom shell of what it once was. Yet enough of that shell remains, allowing those unwilling to accept the obvious truth to continue on their oblivious path into bondage. With the facade in place, cultivating a false sense of accountability and safety, this once potentially great country is being pulled apart from within. The reality of the situation is painfully visible to those willing to actually look. A perfect example of this is how the majority of the nation calls for the decriminalization of cannabis. Now, obviously, this was much more relevant back then, and it still is now, even in the analogy sense. That's still the same point. Are we a democracy, as they keep telling us? Are we a representative government of any kind? The majority clearly wants this, including the majority of states themselves who've already made that happen despite federal law. That's an illusion I've always pointed out in and of itself, showing you we don't have what they tell you we have. A plant that can demonstrably be the answer to some of the most pressing problems, especially at that time, facing this country. And yet, a blinding show of bureaucracy that leads in intentional circles is all that it's seen. Since states are taking it upon themselves to enact their own laws, which, in truth, is how this country was meant to function all along. States' rights used to matter, or they told us they did, without the interference of the federal government. However, today, it is a show of defiance for these governments to do so. And or you could argue simply another way to make profit and revenue for themselves, but regardless, the point is the same. The majority has spoken out and nothing has happened. No action has been taken. In fact, actions have been taken to prevent the majority will. This should be alarming to every American. This is the defining difference between democracy or any representative government and authoritarianism or any such tyrannical government structure. Financial interest appears to be the primary motivation behind the inaction of this government. And you could say the same for today. But from whom does this motivation derive? Now, of course, this financial being the primary, or you could argue it's not. I might argue the same today in regard to COVID-19, that there's much more nefarious agendas at play, but finances always play a factor. Now, some would pose the idea that the illegal drug trade throughout the Middle East, Mexico, that which the United States government largely and secretly controls, is reason enough to maintain a lack of action, even in the face of an uprising regarding cannabis. Too much money is being made. Now, think about this in the vaccines, the concept that we're talking about today. Too much money is being made, with far too many involved to simply change position. If this country's history proves anything, it's that money dictates the weak. Time has shown that a strong, morally bound leader could not be more few and far between, at least in the groups we're being presented with. Now, today, those with the qualities of the founding fathers, as we remember them at least, right? What we're told to remember them as. Remember, I question that reality all the time. It doesn't change the fact that we believe it and that we haven't taken it to heart and we're moving it forward today. But those with the quality of those with those qualities, regardless of who you think had them, do not make it past the capital steps before their morals become their very weakness. And we all see this happening. As they enter the lion's den, they are systematically cast out of a world overrun by deceit. We all see this happening. Quote from JFK, "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. damn if that's never been more relevant than today. The very real possibility that an outside source is dictating the choices of this country, think the World Economic Forum, think the driving force behind what's happening today, is a scary thought. One that many feel is not that far-fetched back in 2017 and especially today. The world is beginning to see the blanket of lies that cover this country and much of what it has done in the last 50, 100 years specifically, but in many ways stretches back much further than that. From Afghanistan to Libya, to Syria, to Bolivia, to any number of places you could point out, those who care to scratch past the surface to what is barely concealed can see the truth behind the carefully cultivated lies. Yet sadly, far too many give in to the fear. Fear of many things. Fear of not being included. Fear of not being part of the group. Fear of being called the conspiracy theorist. The question is, why one country over another? What is the driving force behind why the U.S. government would willingly ignore the verifiably brutal actions of Saudi Arabia or Israel? Actions that regularly take innocent life while carrying out an openly illegal war in Syria based on highly disputed and unsubstantiated claims. There are many theories around this, much of which is rooted in logic and truth, much more so than obfuscators would like you to believe. Yet the real point to walk away with today is that we as the people of this country are no longer in control of this country. If in fact we ever truly were. At the end of the day, it is the duty of the average American, of you watching this show right now, if you're in the United States, to weed through the misinformation and look at the larger picture. In fact, do your own research, despite what they want you to think. Few can say for sure who is truly calling the shots in this country. But it has become painfully clear that the direction has shifted to something other than the fulfillment of the majority will or the protection of Americans, or everyone else for that matter, as they claim today. However, America is not lost simply because those who sit in power do not live up to the role. America is an ideal that lives within its believers, within you. The people of this nation have the power within themselves, and there are those out there waiting to see that majority rise once again. Myself, one of them. Or really, I would argue, waiting to see the majority realize that it is the majority, finally. Now, I know that was a long thing to read to open up the show today, and a lot of people always give me a hard time about talking too much before we get into the data, but that was important. And I know for those that care enough, realize why that made sense. Hopefully, as I always say on the show, hopefully that reached that one more person today, and they just woke up to what's going on. Very important to me. Now, going with that, and here, well, just in case you were curious, here's the article. I will be sharing that back out again as we go forward. But bringing this open to the discussion today, I want to start off with some interesting things about censorship. I found this just humorous to start off. We keep pointing out how PayPal has removed us from the platform. We're not allowed to use it. I've shown you live on the show. You try to use it, can't do it. You've been removed. You're no longer allowed, or indefinitely suspended, excuse me, because they're cowards and they're afraid to remove people. They want you to delete your account, or they'll just put you on indefinite suspension so they can eventually be like, no, we didn't remove him. He's right there. But not only have they not stopped people from trying, so they get notifications that say they did something wrong, which is just, I mean, talk about breaking your own working model. You're breaking yourself to censor people. That's ridiculous. But people are trying to donate, and they're being told they'll check your information. I think your email is wrong or something like that, despite the fact that my count is why they're not allowed to do it. And I'm also getting I'm not even joking, probably 50 emails a day saying that, oh, well, your PayPal and for this didn't go through. I wonder why. Okay. Now, this is even crazier. I'm getting notifications from apparently somebody, whether PayPal's doing this themselves or PayPal's, I mean, who cares about the reason or what the bottom line, I'm being sent an invoice. I can't see it. I'm not on my PayPal account, but I'm getting an email that says, oh, well, we're reminding you to pay your invoice. Not a joke. So somebody out there is allowed to charge me on an account that I no longer am able to use. You see how, that's incredible to me. So PayPal is willing to allow me to be removed, but also allow people to continue to charge me on an account that I can't access or use, and then probably hold me accountable for that. How much you want to bet that affects my credit? How much you want to bet they will take me to court? Bring it on. I'll show up in a fantastic suit, and I'll walk you through how ridiculous it is that I can't even access this to even pay it if I wanted to. But it's ridiculous, isn't it? And that's not the only one, guys. It's crazy. So why all of a sudden are these people just deciding to charge an account they didn't even know was there? I find it impossible to believe this is not somehow involving PayPal. That's my opinion, though. Because are we going to believe Furrows or Monk's House Sales just suddenly was like, hey, I'm going to charge an account that I don't have access to, that there's no link for anymore, that's not on his website, that literally the only place you'll find it is if you go to PayPal and somehow have access to their backend. Yeah, but I'll leave that alone for now. How crazy is that? Speaking of Twitter and censorship, Twitter, by the way, in case you were wondering why I was absent for a day or more, Twitter literally censored us for discussing exactly what everyone else was discussing, the FDA panel. Now, I keep telling you this, that we keep being censored for things that they are absolutely talking about real time. And I mean the exact same way. It only becomes fake news when discussed and backed up with valid source material. I keep telling you that, as even Patreon admitted to, because they're ridiculous. But they temporarily deleted, they restricted it until, of course, I removed the tweet, right? So if the tweet's wrong, why wouldn't they just remove it? Because if I, no, because they are teaching you a lesson. So no, Ryan, you cannot allow to say those things that are true. You have to delete it yourself, like a big boy, right? And then we're going to put you on timeout for 8 hours. Then you can come back. And you learned your lesson? I mean, that's really how, that's, I can't, it's just crazy. Why does the collective adult world allow this guy? I mean, this is so silly to me. Excuse me. The point is that they don't, if they remove it, they're accountable for that removal. If they force you to remove it, that's on you. They're going to be like, well, he did it. He removed it. We didn't make him. It's sort of like the COVID-19 vaccine choice today, right? Well, it's your choice, isn't it? Except we'll remove everything from your life. But it's your choice, though. You see how there's tie-ins, there's correlations here. Because the same power authority, it's the same authority, the same power structure forcing you into all these positions, whether censorship, that's why they're taking the same routes. They're cowards, guys. We must see that. They're absolute cowards. And guess what they deleted, as I told you? A tweet. Not a tweet with any information, just a title. That's it. A title and a link to my website, of course, because they can't stand The Last American Vagabond. FDA panel rejects boosters after experts expose injection dangers. Everybody, I mean, the mainstream media, for crying out loud, is pointing out how that's happening. And of course, we even took the extra step, which a lot of people, including people like InfoWars, didn't do. And on their entire article about this, make it wildly unclear that this is not the FDA making these arguments. This is an open panel on, an open hearing section on the FDA panel, which they opened it up to the public, which, yes, they were experts nonetheless and doctors, and which is what I said. Just the point is, as I make clear, I think people like that are doing that for a reason. They point to them and say, look, they're not putting the full context, and they blame it on all of us. I said that during the other show. Point being, they deleted this. Of course, the other part of it is immunological attack. But of course, I was pointing to peer-reviewed research that I'll show you next that made that clear, as well as the fact that I've already made it clear with other documentation like this one we'll get into yet again from the Journal of Infection, a highly regarded scientific publication that they don't want to, they don't want to ever point to that says the same exact thing. So we're going to get into that. But just make note of how ridiculous Twitter is. They're terrified right now. And I know people disagree with that, but you have to understand if they're taking action to like such obvious action to not actually take action, like a sidestep and permanently suspend, they're concerned. At some level, they know there's a weirdness here and they're afraid to step in too deep. You have to recognize that. Now, by the way, I just included this because here's the full video. You can watch for yourself. Please watch it and recognize how ridiculous this is. Or ridiculous it is. They're censoring us for misinformation. It says, oh, it didn't list it on here. There was another one they sent, but I don't even care. But but guess what? Same thing today as I was getting ready on Facebook. I never check Facebook anymore because Facebook is a dying platform anyway. But here it is. Same exact thing. Now, are we going to pretend like that's not coordinated on the same time and the same day? Same post or same point. Goes against community standards on misinformation that could cause physical harm. Oh, guess what they included now? Now, my information somehow can lead to physical harm. I don't even know how that's physically possible. Okay, because they're claiming because somebody could listen to that information and do something which causes them harm, and that becomes my fault, even though this is factual information, and even though that if it wasn't, that still wouldn't make sense. This is a legal concept. Like, you can't pretend like me doing something that has no effect on your physical being somehow translates into physical harm because you take action. This is why this will never, I mean, it depends on how far this goes. Right now, you would lose in a court of law if you tried to argue that me saying something on the other side of the world added up to actual physical harm as a crime on the other side of the world. You would lose. So why is this being allowed? Because they're trying to make this the case. But the point is, same discussion. I didn't actually do anything to it because I was laughing about the fact that I have an auto post, so you can see right down here that it already went through. HHS whistleblower right down here. I already posted anyway. So screw YouTube or screw Facebook. But let's see what it says. How we make decisions. We use community standards, review our work, and listen to what the government tells us to do. Exactly what it says. We don't allow false information that could cause physical harm. Well, it's not false, but who cares? Who cares about any of that? I don't care what you have to say. Let's get past to the point. Okay, so disagree with decision. Continue. See what they say. Isn't that funny? So they give you an option to agree or disagree with the decision. What does that even matter? So they're going to give me a different treatment based on whether I agree or disagree to be censored. This is how they gauge whether or not I'm going to continue to put it there. Isn't this crazy? We usually offer the chance to request a review and follow up if we got decisions wrong. We have fewer reviewers available right now. Isn't that great? So we usually give you a chance to review, but not for you though, because we don't like you. I gotta love that. Oh, COVID-19 delays. Who cares? I just think that's hilarious. Anyway, I didn't plan to go through that. I just wanted to, I thought that was interesting. So censored all across the board, PayPal, Twitter, YouTube, every other platform, LinkedIn, Spotify, God knows whatever else. But here's the actual information we went through. You can look at it for yourself. Here's the Vaers information that was discussed on the FDA panel. We talked about it. Here's the study from, or the compilation of information from the Doctors for COVID Ethics. That's probably why they censored it, because they just don't like this wildly highly credentialed group of doctors and scientists that are actively dispelling their information that is false, they being Twitter and everybody else. But the point is, this is absolutely valid. Here's the actual information. And as I showed you before, all of it, literally everything they're telling you about self-attack, but basically antibody-dependent enhancement, is down here. All of it. You can look at all of it down here. And this is Science magazine right there. Excuse me, Science, the publication, which is one of the most highly regarded scientific publications, right? Are they calling that fake news? Twitter is calling this fake news, right? I mean, go look through it yourself. There's a lot of very valid information that everything is sourced. And I talked about this in regard to the other discussion, right? The discussion of natural immunity, which I talked about. But here's the main point, as you've seen before. What this is discussing is just bolstering what was already found in this discussion from August 9th. Infection-enhancing anti-SARS-CoV-2 antibodies recognize both original strain and Delta. The point is antibody-dependent enhancement, which means your body attacks itself, which is self-to-self attack, which is what this was saying. Self-to-self attack. That's what was in the study. It's in here. All right. So this is a study that they're pretending is not there. They're not going to debunk it because they can't debunk one of the most highly regarded publications, right? So they pretend it's this one and they censor the video. But all of it is in here. It's telling you that anything based on the original strain, which is what all of these are based on, and then comes face to face with Delta, which is what they're telling you is everywhere, that creates you to get even more sick than before. And yet they're censoring it on that or on discussing the FDA panel, because those are the only two things I talked about. How silly is that? I forgot. We also talked about the fact that this is happening, that here's a Telegraph saying exactly what I said, and they censored that video. Why didn't doctors listen to women about their link between COVID vaccines and periods? Why aren't they censoring the Telegraph? I don't want them to. I'm just showing you the contrast, which is so flagrant right now. It must be embarrassing to them. They must realize how stupid they look to people that are aware. They don't care, though. They really don't care, but they must feel that. Like, well, this is kind of, they must see it. That must give them some feeling. The point is, this is obvious. Yes, this is there. The article itself goes into the reality that I can't believe no one's talking about this. I can't believe the government's hiding this from you. This is the Telegraph. Oh, that's right. Don't forget, the NIH is funding research on the question of altered cycles right now to the tune of $2.1 million. But I'm not allowed to talk about how that's an interesting topic. And they censor it. With results expected in 2022. Yet the new administrative rule from OSHA is mandating vaccination despite ignorance of long-term consequences of this effect. That is a fact. You are right now, they are pushing this on people without knowing the long-term effects of this exact topic or how it affects pregnant women on and on and on. This is a fact. And we're the crazy ones. Here's what RFK Jr. says, quote, if we were to follow the scientific method, we would immediately see this observation of menstrual cycle changes in tens of thousands of women as a signal for which necessary questions would need to be asked. Excuse me, that's Dr. Pilevsky, who we talked to before, but RFK Jr. posting this. Not talked to, but talked about before. We played this clip before, Dr. Pilevsky. But this is exactly the point, just like VAERS or anything else. We're not saying it's an absolute fact, but this is 100% a valid signal that has historically been used to make choices, like the three unconfirmed deaths in the 1976 swine flu, which stopped the whole damn thing, or 53 later, unconfirmed, that stopped another program. We're well over 6,000 reported, yes, unconfirmed, just like before, and they don't care. How do you possibly make sense of that? This clip, by the way, 30,000 plus women in the UK report menstrual problems after COVID shots. Some of them could be wrong. Some of them could be fake. But they're ignoring all of them. There's no way to misunderstand this, guys. Oh, and two last notes on censorship before we get into the absurd discussion of misinformation and why you're too dumb to research for yourself is what we're being told. This is really interesting to me. There is a revisionist, like active rewriting history in real time happening right now. Don't forget, they make you remove your own tweets. So right now, it doesn't show up all the time as this channel has been removed or this has been deleted by Twitter. They want it to look like you did it. So it looks like you're, so maybe they question, oh, maybe it's not real. Maybe I shouldn't look at it. Same thing happened to me. So my tweet's out there and people go, why'd you remove that? Well, here I shared this tweet here, which you can't see anymore. I wonder why it was removed. You know what that was? It was the Israeli member of a government member of the Israeli government. I forget what the exact title was. I think it'll say it in the tweet we bring up. But he was speaking at the panel and leaning over to somebody else. They didn't think they were being recorded. And he literally stated how these vaccine passports are not legitimate and they're simply a way to coerce people into taking the injection. That's that, regardless of whether you believe it or not, or whether it's even accurate or not, that's the opinion of a member of government in Israel. And then it got deleted. Now, are we going to pretend that Discord TV deleted it? Hardly. But I guess what? I rarely see this work, but I was able to get the tweet with the Wayback Machine. Here's the tweet. Now, it's in Israeli. And I have confirmed this with people who speak. This is what they're talking about. And here's the disclosed TV. Israeli Ministry of Health recorded saying to the Minister of the Interior, there is no medical or epidemiological justification for the COVID passport. It is only intended to pressure the unvaccinated to vaccinate. Right. Okay. So he's on film saying it. Discord TV reports literally what he said. And they remove it. Right? I mean, you can't, this is just too obvious. It's not about facts. It's not about anything else. And this is even the Ministry of Health. Right. So the Ministry of Health says this. How can it be fake misinformation or medical misinformation? This is like saying that Fauci says something and they're going to censor him because it's medical misinformation. If Fauci says it, he believes it. And you're claiming that he's an expert. So it also, that, what does that show you? It's medical misinformation when it challenges the narrative, period. I mean, this is just too great. This is everything removed. As I said here, this is what many of us have been telling you. This has been planned. This is about coercing people. Now, the misinformation is a big part of this. And I just can't believe somebody said the other day, they're saying the quiet part out loud. Here is Brian Stelter.
Four little words that are hurting America's pandemic response. What are four words? Four little words that are hurting America's pandemic response. What are they? Here, let Sean Hannity tell you. He loves these words.
Can you guess what they are? Four little words hurting our pandemic response. Do your own research. Not a joke. Of course, they have to throw it over to their, you know, look at these dumb Republicans over here. You know, and that's the whole point. Republicans do the same thing. Look at these sensitive Democrats over here. You know, same thing. It goes back and forth, guys. And they do it. And that's the point. So you dig in. They're all part of it. Two-party illusion is the biggest part of this. And if you keep buying into it, you will not see the full picture. Do your own research, they say, is the biggest problem. They're hurting the U.S. pandemic response. Your willingness or your ability or your choice to do your own research, whether factually correct or not, is a bad thing. I can't even believe they can say this with a straight face. This goes against literally everything we believe about this country and believe about our freedom and believe about everything. Self-determination, free will, everything. And they're literally coming out and going, nah, you're too stupid, though. Look, this is what it says. It says, and it is having real consequences as personalities from Nicki Minaj to Sean Hannity continue to promote the idea, of doing your own research. Like, so what about people in college, right? Or do they just simply write down what the professor tells them to do? I mean, do you not realize how obviously and easily shown to be stupid this is? So if you're supposed to take this at face value and all you're ever supposed to do is just listen to your betters about what you're supposed to think, how do you ever learn anything? You see, this is what they're trying to train is obedient followers that just go along with what they're told the narrative is. That's what all the media does. That's what everyone in this whole pandemic illusion does right now. You're told the science and you follow it because that's what the truth is without any due diligence because they believe doing your own research is what dumb conspiracy theorists do. This is a wild, this has been one of the most obvious sort of like social engineering cult level type of actions in a long time, the whole COVID thing, because you are watching people actively act out in the against their own interests. I mean, it's just staggering to me. But Nicki Minaj, of course, I'm just laughing about this today, saying, I'm going to wait to do this until I have, you know, what I forget the exact quote, until I, you know, do my own research and understand it more fully. And they're like, oh, what a dumb person. And I'm like, what? It's a crazy time in the world when Nicki Minaj is, I'm like, yep, she's exactly right. I just can't even believe this. It says Minaj helped raise doubts about COVID-19 vaccines on Twitter last week, claiming, it says it right here, she would only get the shots once she'd done enough research. Right. And it says it may seem like a reasonable, even positive attitude, and it is a favored talking point echoed by many in the right-wing media to make sure you don't do something until you've done enough research. Like, that is actually, that is their right-wing talking point. So I guess, so the only way to take this is that the other side argues that you should take it without doing enough research. I mean, how else do you see the opposite? They would say, because we trust the expert. Exactly. Because you blindly listen to what they tell you to do. That's not how you'd like to hear that, but that's what you're saying. The same thing with what the White House correspondent said. Openly, when they asked, how do you know the Delta variant is ever? Well, she said, well, the CDC, we just listen to what the CDC tells us. Like, what else would we do? Oh, gee, I don't know. Think for yourselves. Validate that this institution that's been caught lying all throughout history might just be wrong again. Nah, we'll just take them at face value because that's what you do. You listen to experts. Safe and effective, right? Of course. Crazy. It says the problem is that most people simply don't know how to do their own research. Right. You're too dumb. It says, especially when it comes to understanding the complexities of medical science. Now, here's the point I keep making with this. You're not too stupid to do your own research. If you don't understand something, you can learn it. Like anybody else, like anybody in any position that ever needs to learn something more. What do? You learn it. You study. You research. You get educated. And then you know it. Right? The idea that you're somehow incapable of ever understanding this, so just trust Brian Stelter, is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Now, maybe some people have their limitations, but that is exactly why you then reach out to experts and multifaceted, different people from different walks of life, and you get their input. And then you could possibly learn more, educate yourself even more. At the end of the day, the studies they're talking about in most every case, they have an abstract. They break these things down for people to read them. And yes, you can read it and maybe go, well, this is confusing to me. And then that's a reason you should branch out, talk to people about it, find other experts on all different sides of the argument. But to simply say that you're just never capable is just a lie. I mean, I take myself as a great example. Now, I mean, regardless of how people's intelligence levels are perceived, I believe that anybody can continue to become more intelligent on a willingness and a desire to do so. Right. My own experience with this has started where, and I said this from the beginning, there's a lot of this stuff that was new to me. A lot of this stuff, a lot of the words we're using, a lot of the information, vaccine induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia. I mean, I never knew any of this stuff before that. However, I made it my job, because it is my job, to learn it. And now I understand it. And every day I find something new that I'm like, okay, and you guys here with me, I walk through something and I'm like, oh, but what's this word? Let's look it up. That's how it's supposed to be. The difference is I don't stand up and argue that I know it all no matter what, because I'm the expert. I simply understand my limitations and I'm willing to argue that I could be wrong, but we should all be able to look into it, to discuss it, to research it. They want you to believe that you have no possibility of doing so and to sit back and trust what they tell you to do. That terrifies me because people believe it. It says the concept has lately become associated, guess what, with COVID-19 and QAnon. Of course it does. That's not convenient at all. Let's just rope this in with QAnon and whatever else we can to make this whole domestic terrorism, white supremacy, COVID attack crossover. We'll just bunch it all together. Who cares if it makes sense? Do your own research, of course, because they want to point to something that's an obvious psyop that tricked a lot of people with the most subjective and nonsensical comments to be the ones doing their own research. Are you kidding me? Brian, to talk about a dumb comment, you're pointing to one of the people groups, and this is going to offend a lot of people that got taken by it, but one of the least research QAnon group, and not there's a lot of people in that group that did end up doing a lot of good research, even though they got led in the wrong direction. However, most of them got tricked by it because they didn't do that. Because guess what, Brian? They trust the plan. Like, it's just stupid to make, but see, this is the point. They don't need facts. They don't need it to actually make sense because they're hoping you just don't do your own research, right? Trust Brian because Brian knows. It says, but the phrase do your own research dates back to 1890s when it was associated with skepticism surrounding smallpox vaccines. Of course it does. It cites all the way back to another vaccine skeptic. Are you serious? Do your own research is cited back. It's just a phrase. It's like saying, let's go for a walk. Oh, that cites back to 1924 when we were skeptical. Come on. This is the most ridiculous, nonsensical argument that they're reaching and grasping at straws to make. Do your own research is simply being intelligent, and they're terrified of intelligence. It says the notion of doing your own research is not a bad thing in itself, this expert said, as it's important to maintain a healthy level of skepticism about information being fed to you. Do you hear a but coming? Like they say, anything before the word but is meaningless. But in today's media environment, fueled by clicks and engagement, it's all too easy to come across misleading data that confirms bias. Yeah, exactly. Which is exactly what your mainstream media does. But what she just said there doesn't even make sense with what they're arguing. She's saying, be skeptical. But sometimes you can come across things that are misleading. So how can you be skeptical if you're not doing your own research? Yeah, who cares about info? Who cares if it even lines up? It says nobody's going to the library and looking up authoritative sources to do their research. Oh, this future future of democracy fellow at the Berggren Institute said, well, I don't trust anything she's ever going to say again. I mean, talk about, okay, here's the funny part. They're saying we're too stupid to do our own research, right? And she comes out with a subjective whitewash, broad stroke statement that nobody's doing research from the library. Really? I mean, how about a show of hands in this chat? I mean, that doesn't even matter. I mean, that's so stupid to argue that people are just not. One, because there's no way she could possibly know that. Two, because it's 100% not true. And all she's doing is simply going, they're all dumb on the internet looking at Twitter. That's why. Leading in and feeding into the narrative. And we're the ones that are bad about that. I mean, think about how crazy that is, right? But here's the best part about this. She's 100% wrong, even according to MIT. They don't care about facts. They don't care about research that goes against their information. Trust the science, right? But ignore that science, though. You know this. We've talked about it. I recommend just reading this again. Corbett did a good follow-up on it that makes it very clear. MIT did their own study. It was focused on masks predominantly, but it branched out. And guess what they found? COVID skeptics champion science. That was not our, that was MIT came to the clear conclusion that people that were skeptical of masks were far more invested in the scientific method than the people on the other side of the argument. You know, the ones screaming, trust the science. That's not my statement. That's from MIT. But who cares? Because Brian Stelter said. So, fact. I mean, come on. How can you know, he's clearly very, very honest. But going forward, just on that same note, right? So we're all crazy, dumb, misinforming people that can't do their own research. But here's Jordan Peterson, of all people, that I don't know where he's been in all this. Maybe I missed him speaking up, but I haven't seen it. I was really happy to see him speak up and say this. He says, I was informed yesterday by a reliable source, funny, reliable sources, that half of registered Democrats believe that COVID infection carries a 50% chance of hospitalization. Now, in the point of the two-party paradigm, as I always say to other people who talk about this, to say it's a two-party illusion, it doesn't mean that there aren't Democrats and there aren't Republicans. You could maybe argue that in the context of whether politicians actually believe those two things. But in the real world, obviously, people believe they're Democrats and people believe they're Republicans. It just simply means it's an illusion that's not really, you know, you're fighting yourselves, essentially. But the point in this is within that, clearly, at least on the surface level of the, of how they're acting this out, the Democratic side, the Democrat side of this is clearly very different than the Republican side of this. And that's, on my, as always, in my opinion, that's because they're just playing the fake resistance back and forth. I think they're all not on your side. No, seemingly that's becoming less and less a popular opinion. That terrifies me because we need to go the other way. The two-party illusion is the crux of everything. But I do agree with this. In this context right now, in this conversation, clearly that's what's happening. But its point is they are wrongly believing what is going on. Right. So we're, according to Brian Stelter, our own research is leading us in bad directions because we don't know how to do it. Meanwhile, 50% of the Democrat Party believe that there's a 50% chance of being hospitalized. And he says, if that's true that they believe that, there's no wonder people are terrified. The true risk is 2% and far less than that among younger, healthy people. Again, that's the average. If the point is you break it down below 40 with no comorbidities, and they're literally not in danger. Zero. That's the fact. So the point is that half the Democrat Party, if not all, and by the way, the same point on the Republican side for a million other things, but the point in this is that they are wrong. So are they doing their own research? No, they're taking it from the experts, and they're wrong. Think about how stupid and crazy that is. So here we are being told we're fake news for doing our own research because we're too dumb to do it. Meanwhile, they all believe the fake news that is verifiably false. I mean, I hate saying this because you can't make this stuff up. It's just because, I hate to say because you can make it up, but it's just it's a common saying that just kind of, suits that moment. But here's the even crazier point. Clark County declares COVID misinformation a public health crisis. This was September 21st. So they're declaring what they perceive as COVID misinformation a public health crisis. So all this does at the end of the day, even if they believe they're doing the right thing because they're misinformed, in my opinion, obviously, but that's where I'm going with this. Even if they believe they're doing the right thing, this becomes a subjective tool for them to put down what they don't agree with and prop up what they do. That's not the job of government. We know that, but that's always technically, that's always been the job of government. That's what they don't want you to think the job of government is, but they want to pretend you've got freedom and rights. And this is just another step in the wrong direction where they're acting like, well, because of things that are bad and dangerous that lead to harm, we need to declare it a public health crisis so we can censor those things. Okay, but if half the Democrat Party believe that 50% chance of hospitalization and they're wildly incorrect, well, they will censor people that say it's only 2%, which means they're censoring the fact. You follow? I mean, it's pretty damn clear. It says Clark County's declared medical misinformation. Excuse me, declared misinformation on COVID, specifically a public health crisis. This is the tweet from himself. So you can see this confirmed. Breaking. Clark County, one of the few counties in the nation to declare COVID misinformation is causing a public health crisis. Here is the actual breakdown. And as you can basically just run through and says, whereas health information has significantly undermined public health efforts and coronavirus resulted in all these cases. And, but this is what they, again, it drives me crazy that they keep citing a number that they always admit is not accurate. Right? I mean, if you're combining pneumonia, flu, it's not accurate. If you're using a PCR test, they admit, even as the CDC, there's a 30% false positive rate. It's not accurate. There's 1,000 other reasons why you can admit, even if you agree with the narrative, that it's not accurate. I mean, you could even make an argument from within their broken narrative that it could be more. So regardless of the point, they just state it as a fact. It's obviously far less than that based on a million metrics we've talked about, facetiously. But yet they keep stating it. Drives me crazy. I mean, there's so many of those little obvious, clear deceptions right on the surface that are not even trying to hide. The spread of COVID has a devastating impact on our health. Well, I disagree completely. The COVID vaccine, the lockdowns and everything else they did around this is what are happening. The COVID-19 vaccines have met the FDA rigorous scientific standards, in fact, blah, 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 right? No, they haven't. Clearly they haven't because they're still being studied, but whatever. It says the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine has received full FDA approval, which there's no such thing as full FDA approval. And how can it be full if it's not right now? It's only for 16 and up, right? That's everyone's talking. Okay, so 16 and up. Yeah, they're calling it full. So what happens when it goes to the 12 to 14, 15s? Is it then fuller FDA approval? Is it the fullest FDA approval? I mean, how stupid is this? How obvious must it be that they're playing games? Right in the beginning, they gave you these breakdowns of words that we weren't supposed to see that told you how they were supposed to tell you certain things. Don't say this word, say that word. Don't say say this, because they're trying to manipulate you. So full FDA approval keeps being used because they want you to think that's the case, despite the fact they're continuing right now to use the material that is still under emergency authorization while telling you it's approved. and been proven to be highly effective in preventing. Nope. That's actually not even true. Fundamental. I'm proven that, but whatever. Misinformation has caused confusion nationally, led to eligible people, right? So people spreading information they don't agree with, even if fake, has led to an overwhelming overtaking of their narrative, right? So somehow people out there with their Twitter accounts in their mom's basement have somehow overcome the entire medical apparatus and the entire media apparatus and the entire government agenda, right? Really? I mean, think about how stupid that is. We're pretending simultaneously that we're a bunch of fringe weirdos that have we can't even think for ourselves, can't even tie our shoes, and yet somehow we're able to be better than you at spreading information? Yeah, that really lines up. But the truth is, the truth spreads faster, especially when given equal time. And now they're desperate to give it less time because they see how like wildfire and how obvious it is that this is happening. That's why this kind of stuff is happening. Anyway, the point is, it says that now, therefore, it is hereby resolved that it is the sense of the Board of County Commissioners that health information is declared a public health crisis. Clark County should commit to combating health misinformation and curb the spread of falsehoods. Right. It's a license to remove what they don't agree with. Even if you think they think they're doing the right thing, they will remove what they believe is what is clearly not misinformation. In some cases, at the very least, as we can see, it goes on to say, it's important for our governing board to declare health misinformation as a public health crisis and commit to doing all we can to combat the falsehoods that continue to jeopardize the lives of our, right. So they're continuing to claim that your spreading information is literally killing people. I can't make that point enough. That will come to pass in a real time, a real world example, whether we're arresting somebody. Like, that's going to happen on a dime, guys. The moment they're ready to do it, people will start to get arrested, charged with potential violent crimes, murder even. That's where this is going. Now, I hope it doesn't get there. I hope we combat this enough to where they pull back. But that's where they're trying to go. It says Jones and Clark County is among only a few counties in the nation to take such a step. The resolution includes passages affirming the effectiveness of COVID-19. Of course it does. The injections, misinformation. I've read the whole thing. All right. So clearly, so they're telling you that you're misinformation because they disagree, right? Pretty clear. Okay. So let's talk about this for a second. This is from Twitter, right? On that one of these fantastic, like, here's fake, here's news. It's really just text reiterating the narrative with no source material. That's fantastic stuff. They do it all the time. COVID is safe and effective, says experts. And that's all it says. So it's just, and people go, oh, great. I knew it. Right. They just want to be reaffirmed every day. That's what this is. For those in the podcast, it's a picture of vitamin C, something that we've all talked about. I mean, it's been used and actively discussed for as long as I can remember. It literally says, there is not enough data, so September 20th, 2021, there is not enough data to prove that vitamins can prevent or treat COVID-19, according to fact checkers. It says the U.S. National Institute of Health states that there is insufficient evidence to support recommendations for or against the use of any vitamin, mineral, herb, or other dietary supplement ingredients to prevent or fight COVID-19. Claims that the NIH had recently endorsed the use of a trio of supplements to prevent and treat COVID are false, according to the Associated Press, which doesn't mean anything to me because if they just were told it was false, they'd report that it was false. But think about how wild that is. So, of course, just to be very clear, and this is how they're trying to dance this line, what they're saying specifically is that these things have no evidence to be effective against preventing or fighting COVID. So they're saying, but like, oh, yeah, we'll use it for the flu, though. Totally, because we've talked about that. But first of all, that is the same point I've made before. If this has been studied in regard to flu, it's just as valid in regard to COVID-19. You literally don't run around the world and reproduce every single study ever done on every disease once something new comes around. That's ridiculous, and it's not feasible. They know that. That's why they do things like influenza-like illness and do studies. Today, they're just trying to reinvent everything and change the world because that's what they're trying to do, build back better. But what the interesting part about this is, if you're talking about preventing literally anything, what do? You improve your immune system, right? And they admit this because what are they trying to do right now? They're trying to get immunity. That's your immune system. Okay. So if we're talking about preventing anything, your immune system needs to be strengthened. And this strengthens your immune system. This is not hard to understand. They know this. What they're desperate to do is stop any of this stuff because guess what has a huge effect in every possible regard from every study and every expert I've talked to that's willing to get into this? High vitamin C, high vitamin D have a tremendous effect against pretty much any respiratory illness, especially COVID-19. And that's not because it fights COVID-19 specifically with some kind of mechanism. No, it improves your immune system, which will prevent anything to some degree that affects your immune system. It's simple as that. You could look up 1,000 studies about this from before. They don't care. But according to them, according to fact checkers that we're supposed to trust with everything, there's not enough data. Not enough data to prove that this improves your immune system. You see, all they're trying to do is play the game. Well, we haven't studied it in regard to COVID-19, so we're not sure. Okay, so we're not sure for your safety, but we're going to fly things out, totally unsafe, unverified, emergency authorized, experimental, and that's okay though. But this thing that's been here forever, tested on everything else around it, but because we haven't done one thing specifically in this area, we don't know for sure, it's unsafe. Is that the same metrics applied on both sides? Same logic? Obviously not. One is still being studied, but we're jamming it down people's arms. This should really anger you. This is what they're doing to you. It's overwhelming. Oh, and speaking of misinformation, my brother just sent me this today, actually. He said, guess what's back? Zombie preparedness. Great. So it says, wonder why zombie apocalypse, and zombie preparedness continue to live or walk dead on CDC website? As it turns out, what first began as tongue-in-cheek campaign to engage new audiences of preparedness messages has proven to be a very effective platform. We continue to reach and engage a wide variety of audiences on all hazard preparedness via zombie preparedness. Great. So people could pretend like this is just, they're just being tongue-in-cheek. Okay. So on the CDC website, they have a page that says zombie preparedness. Obviously, that's not real. Right? They're using this as they say, as a way to get you engaged with other things. So basically, this is a way of getting you on there so they can slip in other propaganda that you take. Okay. The point, though, is if you have a page on here that's comical, farcical, satire, whatever you want to call it, does that not undermine literally everything else on this website? Does that not mean that if you could have this is fake, what else is fake? I mean, at the end of the day, this is showing you that they're willing to use fake information to subtly put other things out there. Even if it's knowably, or that's not the right word, even if it's acknowledged, not fake, whatever. Zombie apocalypse, zombie preparedness. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's only a glimpse into our future, right? But at the end of the day, guys, it's just crazy to me that they can have this on there while telling people that we're spreading misinformation. Isn't this just comical? But it brings us to one of the larger points of today's show. Part one of what apparently is going to be a much larger continuing thing, even from it, apparently they've got an insider in the FDA. I'm interested to see it. And look, I right out of the gate, and I say it every time, I think, I will not disagree that Project Veritas can very openly sometimes selectively edit. Now, maybe that's not on purpose. Maybe it's because it doesn't matter. I say this every time. I think Project Veritas does outstanding work because they are out there finding this stuff with people inside these positions. And it's a dangerous job, guys. And regardless of how, I mean, there's times when I'm like, I didn't like the way that, and it bothers me, but it's still valid work. It still shows you true things that are being stated in positions that you wouldn't otherwise see. And it bothers me to high hell that there's people in government and all sides that will continue to downplay this. Like the member of the CNN Nothing Burger comment, they're like, oh, that was taken out of context. What do you mean taken out of context? It was one sentence and it was obvious what he was saying. But yeah, it was fake news. Yeah, right. Because that's how that works. It's fake news if they want it to be. Right? So let's take a listen to what's being said here. I think I'm only going to play the first part of this. I just, as usual, I'll recommend you watch it all for yourself. Maybe we'll skim through a little bit. But let's watch it. Part one. Federal government HHS whistleblower, Health and Human Services, goes public with secret recordings. Now, the main part of this for me is that it's a doctor in there saying this, and then they actually end up asking about what they were supposed to be writing. And there's a point here where they make it very clear that they are not choosing to write down what they're supposed to write down because it implicates the vaccine. Yes, it's only one case, and yes, it's only one doctor, but that's totally valid. Yes, it's one case. Yes, it's one doctor. It is happening.
Because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
Earmuffs. Tell us about who this person is.
Dr. Gonzalez is one of our emergency room doctors at Phoenix Indian Medical Center.
And she's a federal employee?
Correct.
Now you got this guy in room four who got his second dose of vaccine on Tuesday, has been short of breath.
He's got brain myocarditis.
Yes.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Let's see.
Probably myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
They are not reporting.
Right.
Because they want to shove it under the under the mat.
What patient was she referring to?
She was referring to that patient, that 30-something-year-old patient that had congestive heart failure.
And in that particular patient's case, it was not reported.
No.
The problem in here, they are not doing the studies. People that had it, you know, and the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
Super fishy.
Right. You know why they're not doing antibody testing? Because this will show you the reality of a bunch of different things. One of which, especially if you believe that what they're telling you, right? The idea of whether, you know, even more specific, it ties in with something we're going to talk about later about the origin, right? That people have natural immunity, right? Or even more so that they did and they don't after the injection. There's a lot of reasons they don't, right? On top of the fact that early on, if that was the case, it would have shown you that it was in the United States long before they told you, like it was, had been admitted to in like 7 or 8 other countries already. As we've talked about many times, Italy, Singapore, I mean, on and on. But on top of that, these people have the injection. They know that. And if they have this happen within a time frame, they're supposed to report that. And the problem is that these doctors don't care, saying, oh, well, it's congestive heart failure, so it's not the vaccine. But how do you know that, right? There's already all this evidence out there where it's clear that myocarditis, swelling of the heart, this stuff is possible, and it's been admitted to now. And yet these doctors are still refusing to make these reports. This is why HHS and Harvard told you a long time ago that the reports on VAERS and everything else are on average less than 1%. That's why. They know this.
That it hasn't been done. It hasn't been published.
It hasn't probably been done because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
The government doesn't want to show that the vaccine is full of shit.
It's not doing what its purpose was.
May I see your badges? You're Jody O'Malley, the Department of Health and Human Services. This is the United States government identification. I'm looking at the CDC website. It says that you're required to report adverse events following vaccinations. One of those would be congestive heart failure.
That's a huge one.
Were there other instances that they didn't report?
Oh, I've seen dozens of people come in with an adverse reaction.
You know, it's really sad. She had just come back from surgery, from leave.
So what are we looking at here?
You're looking at me transferring her to a higher level of care that could handle her condition.
And this is a colleague at your hospital who got sick.
She didn't want to take it because of her religious beliefs. And she was coerced into taking it.
God, I can't even express how much that bothers me, right? I mean, so this person, and this is the story that's the worst part of this. So she's forced into taking this because she doesn't want to lose her job. And then she ends up in the hospital. And then still nobody wants to pretend or nobody, they don't want to acknowledge that there's a possibility that it's that, right? I mean, because if they even pretend it's possible, well, then they're forcing people to do something that could take their life. And they will never admit that, even if they know it.
Why are you choosing to blow the whistle? It's not what a lot of people would do. They're scared. They're afraid. Are you afraid?
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm afraid because my faith lies in God and not man. This is evil at the highest level. You have the FDA. You have the CDC that are both supposed to be protecting us.
Are you afraid they're going to retaliate against you?
Yeah. I'm a federal employee. What other federal employees do you see coming out?
But you put your faith in God.
Amen.
The government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit. And the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
Now you got this guy in room four who got his second dose of vaccine on Tuesday, has been short of breath. Okay, now his BNP is elevated, D-dimer elevated, ALT, all his liver enzymes are elevated, his PT, PTINR is elevated.
He's got myocarditis.
Yes!
All this is bullshit.
Let's see.
Probably myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
Oh,
it
yes.
happened. Right, what is it? 60 days after, if you see anything?
They have got to.
But how many people are reporting?
They are not reporting.
Right.
Because they want to shove it under the mat.
In this instance,
right. And that's the gist of it, guys. I really hope you'll watch the full thing. But at the end of the day, right? I mean, that's the big part of this, right? She is telling you that in her experience, they're not reporting what they're obligated to report. Now, as I said, it's one doctor, one nurse, one location. And you could argue she's lying. You could argue this was, I mean, at the end of the day, though, there's no cutting out of context, right? I mean, she's very clearly saying what she's saying. But there's a lot of other evidence and a lot of people speaking out that back this up. Like, you just can't hide this stuff because we already see that this is happening. They don't want to know it because there's an entire, I mean, look, there are people that believe things like this, 50% hospitalization, right? They're going to go along with what they think is happening. They're told it's not true. It's safe and effective. So they don't want to see it. If they report it, they sometimes get attacked. They might get fired because they're, you see, this is, they've clearly shown that you're not supposed to do this. Now, what's interesting is I saw this right after. We'll watch this real quick. Apparently, he's already being fact-checked, which just cracks me up. I mean, how do you pretend that it's fact wrong or something when it's on film, right? But so this guy's already reached out to him, which, you know, anytime these mainstream people reach out to you and it's like, oh, we want your comment for context. I mean, Vanessa Bealey's talked about this. They are never out for the full, but they want to get you so they can selectively edit, which is exactly what they accuse him of, your words, and then make you look like an idiot. They believe something they frame is crazy. That's all they really try to do. So take a look at this.
So I just got an email from Daniel Funk at USA Today. It says, I'm a reporter for USA Today, and I'm reaching out for a comment for a fact check about the Project Veritas videos. Specifically, I'm fact checking the claim that the government is suppressing reports of adverse events with Project Veritas like to comment. So Daniel Funk at USA Today wants to put out a disinformation hit piece, basically saying that the piece is missing context or there's no evidence to support the claim.
How many people are reporting?
They are not reporting.
Right.
So that the tech companies can take the video completely off the internet. Now, I've tried to call Daniel 5 times to tell him my comment, and he won't pick up the phone. So I'm going to leave him a voicemail and publish this video.
It's pretty funny.
Hi there, you reached Daniel Funk at USA Today. Sorry I missed your call, but if you leave your name, number, and a brief message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Hi, Daniel. This is James O'Keefe. I just got your email. My comment is this. Your email appears to be an effort to get our video removed from the internet via symbiotic relationship with tech companies via shared interest. My question is, which social media platform is paying you to do this? Is it Facebook? Because last time this happened, we sued the New York Times for defamation, and the judge is allowing it to go all the way to a trial, so this isn't going to work out for you. My next question is, how many adverse effects were not reported to the Veris system? Do you know? Because if you don't know, you can't do a proper fact check.
Right.
My third thing I'm going to say is you're creating a fake tautological argument so you can knock this down off the internet. My fourth thing I have to say is Dr. Gonzalez made this claim inside HHS, not me. I'm recording what someone said. The public has a right to know this information. She did indeed say it. And the hospital has not denied what we've uncovered.
Right. That's the most important part right there.
The hospital's issued a comment. I hope you report that comment. If you don't, it's journalistic malpractice. I would like you to call me back, please. My number is, you have an obligation to call me back. If you don't.
Anyway, at the beginning, I almost wish he wouldn't have said like what company's paying you. I actually completely, there's probably not even, that's probably more accurate than we realize, but you know, you can't prove that. And so it's kind of he's got a lot of standing with this, and it's like, I wish they wouldn't do that, but I think that's hilarious. I mean, obviously this is what these groups do. I've made fun of USA Today fact checks more times than I can count. They have an agenda. That's all this is. And it's so obvious. And his point is he's simply reporting what she said. How do you fact check that? I mean, good God, but they will. And they're going to make it out to be what, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And we will make fun of it we will look over it on the show. But going forward, let's get into the discussion of why this is dangerous and exactly why what she's talking about is happening that they're not reporting, because we see this happening everywhere. Here's another one from Oxford Academic, European Heart Journal, in fact. Predictors of mortality in thrombotic thrombocytopenia after adenoviral COVID-19 vaccination, the FAPIC score, F-A-P-I-C score. What's interesting is the adenoviral injections have been getting a lot of hype again lately, going, oh, well, we got the Johnson & Johnson, or the, you know, like trying to use the single shot, and we're working on a new version of it. Like, it's almost like they're, nonetheless, I think it's important that we continue to show the concerns around any of these, because I think the spike protein, which is what they all lead toward, is the real problem here, the epidemic of the spike protein. Now, what this says is thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome, which stands for TTS, for as we go forward down, further down. On the conclusions, it says fibrinogen levels, age, platelet count, and the presence of ICH and CVT, and that's what the FAPIC or FAPIC score stands for, as you can see, you can, I'm not, all those words we just read off. Fibrinogen. Let me look it up real quick for the breakdown. Fibrinogen. Fibrinogen levels, age, platelet count, and presence of ICH and CVT were significantly associated with mortality in patients with TTS, which again was thrombosis with thrombocytopenia. Okay, so this score, which is like a general score given to, you know, kind of assess the threat in this regard, they're saying was associated significantly with people who had this, the thrombosis with thrombocytopenia after the injection. It says the FAPIC score comprising these risk factors could predict mortality. So what they're essentially saying here, to start right out, is saying, okay, there is a risk of mortality from this injection, which, by the way, is admitted to, vaccine-induced thrombosis thrombocytopenia. And the point is that, well, we could use these pre-existing factors, platelet count, age, and so on, to decide whether or not before the injection, if they will have a high risk of mortality. So just their premise admits to you that there is this risk in certain categories. Yet people are being forced across the board with no religious exemptions, no moral, no nothing. It shows you that this is not scientific, guys. And this stuff is going to keep coming out, like we just pointed to a second ago. How can they keep pushing this on people without knowing the long-term effects on menstrual cycles or on pregnancy? Because they don't care. Now, it says the FAPIC score could be used in the clinical setting to recognize the thrombocytopenia patients at high risk of adverse outcomes and provide early intensive interventions, including intravenous immunoglobulins and non-hairpin anticoagulants. But here's the interesting part. It says, overall, patients presented to the hospital from a range of 5 to 24 days after vaccination, with a median time from vaccination of 10 days. It says, presenting symptoms from these cases are shown in supplementary material online. The most common symptoms for patients were neurological, notably 22 out of 30, 73% of patients for whom symptom data were available presented with headache, following by hemiparesis, and I looked that up a moment ago. It was another for, oh, that's right. I had to search for it because it gave me the weird definition. It said it's another form of hyper with the A after it, but it's a muscle weakness. Oh, that's right. Partial paralysis. That's the important part, right? So neurological, headaches, partial paralysis, visual disturbance. This one was language disorder marked by deficiency in the generation of speech, so not being able to speak properly, dizziness, and seizure. 13% seizure. Half, 50% of the patients reported systemic symptoms with fever in 23%, reduced consciousness in 16%, fatigue in 10%. Malaise, pain in the muscle groups, 6% of patients. Gastrointestinal manifestations were present in 7 patients, 23%, including abdominal pain, vomiting. 3 patients reported bleeding tendency, including gum bleeds. Hematoma, which I remember that was solid swelling and clotted blood within the tissues. This one was just a certain kind of a rash, red rash, purple spots. You know, it's just unbelievable to me how high these numbers are. And the bottom line is this stuff is being treated like it's fake news. The simple concept of this stuff, the simple idea that these things can cause anything, is being treated like fake news. And there is an endless list of these things out there. Here's another one. Myocarditis risk from mRNA COVID vaccines reevaluated in Canadian study. Scientists from University of Ottawa, Canada have recently estimated the prevalence of myocarditis in individuals after their mRNA-based injections. The analysis reveals a prevalence of 10 myocarditis cases for every 10,000, which is a lot. It says the recent outbreak of COVID-19, this was highlighted, by the way, looks like it refreshed. It says a total of 32 patients with vaccine-related myocarditis were identified during the study period. The average age group was 33 years. They keep trying to yell at you about children and really trying to associate that with COVID. We're talking average people here, guys. We just showed you the CDC's own slides showing you a dramatic increase, expecting 7 to 15 cases and finding 223. Way above the average. That's what this study is talking about. This is higher than the average of what it should be. And the whole time, remember in the beginning, with everything they saw, well, it's about the average you'd expect with your normal population. Nope. Especially since this can increase, a non-serious case of myocarditis can increase your mortality by 25 to 56% over the next 10 years. It's all there. Here's another one. AstraZeneca, specifically another adenovirus one. EU lists new side effects of that vaccine. Guess what it is? Nerve damage warning. Nerve damage. I mean, how much does this keep? It just keeps going. And we're safe and effective. It's safe and effective. The benefits outweigh the risks. Really? If the benefits outweighed the risk back before all this was happening, and we've added on like 11 million different, there's been so many new things we've added that were proven, but super rare, uncommon, and we still pretend that's the case? Now, how about we keep pointing out the fact that if new things keep popping up, how do we pretend we know everything that's there? How about in the beginning when they said, we know it's safe and effective, and yet we know that we'll accept this one thing and we're still safe and effective. And we know that's it. Okay, well, now over the next thing, Bell's palsy. Oh, blood clots. Oh, vaccine induced thrombosis. It just keeps going. Oh, still safe and effective. Clearly, it's not effective, especially if the variants, as they tell us, are vaccine resistant. And so it's not working. That's not effective at all, in fact. And based on everything else we're seeing around the world, they're admitting in another side of the conversation that it's not effective against the variants because of the unvaccinated. But it's totally safe and effective. So keep taking it everywhere. Nerve damage. Remember the study we showed you in the beginning that they've already tried to remove about causing prion's disease, Alzheimer's, ALS. Yeah, that's what this was. Remember all these things popping up in Canada, these weird new brain disease we can't figure out. Gee, I wonder if the nerve damage had anything to do with that. But we're fake news though, because we're putting things together that they don't want to talk about. Here is something you might find interesting. Somebody sent this to me. Oh no, I just forgot that I don't. Dang it. I don't think I have the timestamps for this. Dang it. That's really frustrating to me. Hold on. Let me try one thing real quick. So the point is, this is a video at a concert where twice during the concert, twice, I'm trying to do the, of course. For some strange reason, there's no transcript on this. Well, anyway, the point was, yeah, I'm not going to be able to find it. Gosh, that's frustrating. Okay, I'm going to circle back to this. I'm going to find this. The point is, and it won't mean much to people that don't, you know, they're going to pretend I'm making it up for some reason. There's two points during this whole concert where she has to stop in the middle of the concert. And this is a concert where they had to be vaccinated. They stop in the middle of the concert and they go, oh, someone's down. And they have to stop and they have to come help them. So twice people pass out or lose consciousness during the concert. Two different young people. Can you believe that? I mean, it just continues and they're pretending like this isn't a thing. You have two people who pass out and lose consciousness during a concert because of this. It just blows my mind. This stuff is everywhere. Here's another example of something being deceived or something being misrepresented. This is a German study that was commissioned by the German Ministry of Health, and it comes to find, guess what? Report on corona situation from September 20th, 2% in regard to an expert opinion ends the fairy tale of the extraordinary corona pandemic in Germany. It says on the side of the federal health ministry, the number is 2% plays a central role here. It says in relation to the number of total days that patients were in German hospitals, what percentage of these patients, I forgot to say that this is it's breaking down the illusion of the hospitalization. But the point is, this is a translation from German, so it's a little bit weird. It says, what percentage of these patients' days with the diagnosis of COVID? right? So they're claiming everyone's there for COVID. It turns out it was only 2% the whole time. It says the answer is on the side of the Federal Ministry of Health, or the BMG. Now, here's the actual study. And you'll see, this is what the, just so we're clear, that's what that word is the government, what they're saying, this, the health ministry. You can read it for yourself if you know German. Now it says, in the opinion of this Institute of Economic Research, which the BMG itself commissioned, they've known since April and no one's talking about. It says a scientist who was involved in it sent this analysis to the email group of experts last week, which this person's a part of, so they're also an expert. To this person's shame, they say they have to admit that they hadn't noticed this before. It was apparently also largely kept a secret, which, like, it's happening everywhere else. They found next to no media reports on it. The report ends the fairy tale, they claim, of the extraordinary corona pandemic in Germany, they say, with kettledrums and trumpets. Although this is already recognized in this April 2020 in the study they did, but it has now been officially confirmed. It says, ask the corona believer to pull out his smartphone and enter the following into the calculator. This is just the way it's basically saying 1.93 million. That's the length of the stay for all patients. It says, now take this number times 200 and divide it by 101.02 million. That is the number of days all patients stay. The result is 1.9%, ultimately 2%. He says that is supposed to have brought the hospitals to the brink of strain. Every year, patients with infectious respiratory diseases of this magnitude are treated as inpatients. Meaning, when you break it down mathematically, it's the same as we've had before, period. Then it says, the analysis further states, this is from the study, it says, quote, in the 2020 period under consideration, there have been fewer inpatient cases in Germany since the start of COVID-19 pandemic in mid-March, namely by around minus 30% in the period up to the end of May, and from then, including the period of the second wave, by 10%. Over the year, the minus is 13%, i.e. without taking into account the first 10 COVID-19 free weeks, it is approximately 16%. Excuse me. Since the average length of stay increased only minimally, the length of stay also decreased by 12%. As a result, bed occupancy fell to an all-time low of 63.3% and 68.6% in intensive care units. This already takes into account the care of COVID-19 patients for whose inpatient care an annual average of 2% of all beds and just under 4% of the intensive care beds were required, taking into account the survivors. And it says, as I said, the overall peak was 5% overall. This geographical peaks, i.e. individual hospitals, could have relocated intensive care, which is what I keep saying, into semi-empty intensive care units at any time, which, as the analysis also shows, were the rule in smaller hospitals. Now, my point in this is saying that there's always, they have these different areas that they claim are the ICU, but there's a whole hospital that mostly are shut down because COVID that they're not using, while claiming these 15 beds being maxed out is the hospital being overrun. And this is an illusion they've been running from the beginning. Just out of curiosity, is somebody's telling me SuperU's not working? It seems to be working for me, so they're incorrect. Anyway, thanks for the break. Now, the point is, this is an important study that is breaking this down in another angle from another group. And this study was commissioned by the government. And when they got the answer they didn't like, they put it down. How many times do we need to see this? Now, I want to read something somebody shared with me yesterday, I believe, called the Declaration of Helsinki. I just found this interesting. I wasn't even aware of this. Now, this is another concept that seems to ring true with everything we pretend we believe in this country up until COVID danger. The illusion of, anyway, and aligns with the I'll just grab it, the bioethics and discussion that we've had many times from UNESCO, Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. Now, here's what it says. The Declaration of Helsinki is a set of ethical principles regarding human experimentation that was developed originally in 1964 for the medical community by the World Medical Association. It is widely regarded as the cornerstone document on human research ethics. It's pretty interesting. So you would argue that, well, this would probably have an effect on what they do. Well, you would be wrong. It is not a legally binding instrument. That's why not that that matters to people in the government today anyway, as they're rampantly lawless. But it says it is not a legally binding instrument under international law, but instead it draws its authority from the degree to which it has been codified in or influenced national or regional legislation and regulations. So it's been adopted by the world. Its role was described by a Brazilian forum in 2000 in these words, quote, even though the Declaration of Helsinki is the responsibility of the World Medical Association, the document should be considered the property of all humanity. It says the declaration is morally binding on physicians. And that obligation overrides any national or local laws or regulations. If the declaration provides for a higher standard of protection of humans than the latter, investigations will still have to abide by, if the declaration provides for a higher standard of protection of humans than the latter, investigators still have to abide by local legislation, but will be held to the higher standard. I bet you this gets altered by Wikipedia in the next month. It says the fundamental principle is respect for the individual, his right to self-determination, and the right to make informed decisions. Well, doesn't that seem relevant? Then it says the subject's welfare must always take precedence over the interests of science and society. Well, guess what? That's also aligning with international law. It says right here under Article 3, Human Dignity and Human Rights, the interest of the welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society, as well as making it clear that the consent it should be where appropriate be expressed and maybe withdrawn by you at any time for any reason and without disadvantage or prejudice. But your government doesn't care about international law. Of course not. They don't care. But it says same thing here. Based on this moral law that you are supposed to be given those rights. They don't care. And it says, and ethical considerations must always take precedent over laws and regulations. That's not what's happening right now. It says it is recognized that when the research participant is incompetent, physically or mentally incapable of giving consent, or as a minor. Now, by the way, they go into research or just people or just patients in general, as this is talking about in this whole discussion. It says if can't give consent or as a minor, which is relevant right now, then allowance should be considered for surrogate consent by an individual acting in the subject's best interest, like a parent, although his or her consent should still be obtained if at all possible. So not only does it go away from the idea that kids can give their own consent, it simply says that the parent should have the consent. And even on top of that, the kid should then also be able to give consent. Not the doctor should decide for them, or the media should manipulate the child to go against their parents' interest. They're not able to give consent if they're not allowed to join the military or buy cigarettes or drive a car based on the same metric, but yet they're all with this kid. This one counts because we want it to. Right. The point is, here is another example of how your government doesn't care about you, or how the international community in regard to World Economic Forum doesn't care about you, or the WHO or any of these groups that are driving all of this don't care about morals or ethics or any of the things they pretend are guiding what they're doing. They are literally going the other direction. Somebody in the comments says, I hope he remembers to link this up. I will. I apologize for being delayed on the links in the last couple shows. As I said, I was traveling. A lot was happening. And I just missed it. And I'm glad I remember to say that, by the way, just Amanda. So appreciate that. And I will and always do get him up eventually. Should have him up the same night, most cases, if not the next morning. If it's late, probably one of those cases tonight. Anyway, this is relevant. And I'm surprised it hasn't been brought up before. This brings me to a couple quick discussions that I want to have about what was just stated. Taking that into mind, bringing that with us in the conversation, the international law, the Declaration of Helsinki, and these other ethical considerations, here is Kamala Harris, as well as somebody from the HHS, now admitting to you two things. One, well, first of all, stating that this is about Build Back Better, right? Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was just Biden's tagline for his election. Oh, no, I guess it has to do with a lot more things about the world. Shocking, I know, even though they already claim that's not the case. I guess it's just coincidence. You'll see for yourself, as well as two, Kamala Harris admitting to you that this is not going away. This is about utilizing this and continuing forward for the next one that's inevitable and how we plan. So if you believe that you're going to get past this and go back to your lives, no, the next one is right around the corner. And that's that the mask, the lockdown, the whole thing. They're telling you that's what we're going to do. It's not happening. This is your new normal. Take a listen for yourself.
And colleagues, thanks very much for joining us today. For those of you just joining us, we welcome you. And for those of you who have been with us, we appreciate you staying for this session on Building Back Better. So we've been
here. Right. So this session is on Building Back Better. You understand this is the global COVID-19 summit? Okay. So Build Back Better is clearly a global agenda. I mean, I don't know why that's even something that's hard to say. This is one of those examples of how obviously there's an agenda. We are being openly lied to in a way that even people who agree that we're fake news, subtly, they know it. They can see. They're not stupid. Some of them aren't. They can see That there's obviously a Build Back Better agenda. And obviously it has to do with the Great Reset and what they're using. I mean, it's not even a secret. So when we come out and say, that's obviously a coordinated effort between all these governments, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And they come out and literally say it in the global summit. They know it. We know it. People that think we're crazy also kind of know it and go, well, I don't want to admit it because that looks like it's, I don't even understand. This is wild to me, but here we are. It's an open conspiracy.
Hearing in previous sessions about the importance of a response to global health emergencies. Now we're going to talk about how to be ready for those emergencies. And we'll be hearing from a number of leaders and experts in that regard, telling us how exactly we should be looking at our global health architecture so that we're truly prepared. On that note, it is my great pleasure to introduce our very first speaker, Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Thank you to our Director of Health and Human Services, Director Lois Pace, and good afternoon to all of you. It is truly an honor to be with you today. As global leaders, each and every one of us has gathered here knowing that we are in a fight for our shared future.
You know what I just have to point out too? And maybe it's just something that I haven't picked up on in the past, but isn't it interesting that that she uses the term global leaders? So are they each leaders of the globe? Right? You could argue that she simply means leaders from around the globe, but that's not what she said, is it? Global leaders. The language has meaning, right? Words mean something. You could argue she said it incorrectly, but to say global leaders, it means they're on a panel of leaders of the globe. Now, yeah, he's being, oh, well, that's just because of presidents of other countries. Yeah, I don't think that's where this is going. I think it's quite obvious they're creating, all of this is leading towards, and even the UN and all these different things are just sort of steps in the direction of global leadership, of a global government. God forbid, new world order. Oh my gosh. It's pretty obvious, guys. I mean, this is not even a secret. They've talked about wanting to do this for a long time, but now in the middle of COVID clown world, everything we've ever been saying is conspiracy theory, so we can't say it, but we'll do it openly. We'll call it something else and go, no, but that term you're using, that's crazy conspiracy theorist, as we build a different government under a different name and say it's something else. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
And the discussions happening today will shape what our world looks like, not only today, but tomorrow.
Exactly.
So thank you to all of you for taking...
And the question should be whether you agree with that. Right? They're shaping your future, your children's lives in the future. Are we really going to pretend that we voted for any of this?
Taking the time to join in this important meeting. So as I've said many times, I do believe that our world is embarking on a new era. The global pandemic was a turning point, and indeed a tipping point. These past 19 months have revealed systemic flaws and reminded us of our collective resolve.
Now, a point to make right there is how ridiculous, like this is exactly what this was meant to do, right? That's why they continue to lie and drag this fake narrative through the mud. Oh, we're going to keep, it's keeping it going. They have to, because they need to use that argument to build what they're building, right? But remember, more than once, Crimson Contagion was like 2019, I think, if I remember correctly, or 18. It was before Event 201. Same thing. Then they had Event 201. Now, guess what they learned, quote unquote, from every one of these? Every single thing that they claim now was a mistake or a failure or a shortcoming. Every single one of them. I mean, Event 201 might as well have been a book written about what we're dealing with now. It's like exactly what's happening. So are we going to pretend? There's only two ways to look at it. Either they went through multiple pandemic planning scenarios. Crimson Contagion was one of them, Event 201. And we're told repeatedly each time, we don't have enough of this. We're going to fail here. We don't know how to do this. We need to do this better. And then it happened. Exactly like that. Now, there's only two ways to look at it. Either they are wildly incompetent to the point to where they can't even take their own advice, barely tie their shoes in the morning, but here, but they're running your government, or they knew these things and didn't care. And it was all about setting these things in your mind so they can point and be like, oh, well, see, we know you should have listened. We weren't prepared. Right? It's just that ridiculous. They had them. They were told their own things that they set up to find out the answers about what we needed to do and then didn't do them. I mean, it's just comical. It's really that silly. But so she's telling you, oh, we learned that we're just not ready. So now we're going to use this situation that we clearly orchestrated to a lot of degrees, even if you don't believe COVID is part of that, to step on to build the next part of it. Shocking, I know. And we're going to use that to argue we need more funding to prepare and plan for the next thing. That's where she's going.
If we were not clear before, we know now. Our world is more interconnected. Our world is more interdependent than ever before.
Ah, you see. So now we're making these cross. This is the global concept, right? Now, before it used to be all about other way, right? But now it's we're interconnected. Now we have to consider other people's country. Are we going to pretend like that includes Iran and the bad guys they don't like? Well, no, what that means is that we need to force them to do what we think is smart and correct and safe. Of course it does. The same reason they invade other countries, because they disagree or they claim they do with what they're doing. It's a means to an end. But what it means and what that end will be is everybody on the planet doing what they're supposed to do. Otherwise, they're dangerous conspiracy theorists risking everyone's life. This is the biosecurity state. Welcome to your new normal.
And therefore, the only way to move forward, the smartest way to move forward, is together. The task before us now is great.
Now, one last thing is, remember that, not last thing, but before the next part of this, do you know where else you've seen this exact kind of thing with the thing in the window and the flag? Doesn't this, you know what this would be in 2010? Foreign policy, right? The biggest obvious one is the war on terror, George Bush and his big discussions about, war on terror. We need to fight, what was it? That you're either with us or you're against us, right? That's what this is. That's one of these moments, right? It's interesting. It's not Joe Biden. Also, take note of that. But what's interesting is this is just the same. This is the same kind of sentiment, the same kind of that we're all, I know it's a somber moment, but we're going to get through it together. It's politics, guys. This is the biosecurity state version of the security state from before. And this is your speech to bring you into it.
You have heard from President Joe Biden about what we must do to vaccinate our world. All of us working on that together.
See? This is my point from the beginning. It was about the war. Well, we have a 120,000% vaccination rate, but over there, they've only got 1%. So they need to get vaccinated and it won't be over until they do now. So you see the goalposts moving from the very beginning, right? At first it was herd immunity. We got to get 70%. Oh, 80%. Oh, 90%. Oh no, but Africa's still there. So now it doesn't matter. Let's start all over again because variants. It's a recipe for it to never end, based on fake information, by the way. Stuff that's not backed up by the science. In fact, it's contradicted by the previous science of the peer-reviewed research that was done on this exact topic around the flu. Oh, but it's not the COVID-19, so it doesn't count. Right? It's from one lie to the next.
So that we can end this pandemic. In addition, my focus today is to talk about what we must do to prepare for the next. Because the truth is, the work to end this pandemic and prepare for the next is a strategic imperative.
Right. It's never ending.
It is essential to our security and to our shared prosperity. And it will save countless lives. However, at this moment, we must also agree that our world is not fully prepared to prevent, to detect, and to respond to future biological threats. Indeed, we are taking some important actions to ready nations by strengthening health systems and supporting health workers.
Right, so she's talking in the global sense. I hope you hear that right now. She's talking as a global leader, right? Other nations, what we're doing. This is a transition, guys. Do not misunderstand what this is. It's a transition. It's very clear. And she's very clearly telling you that we're just not, and the main point to take away, even before she gets into the pre-crime aspect of this, is it's never ending. Next one's coming. It's probably right there. And if you think that this COVID situation, whether that's part of the next thing or not, is going to just end in 2 weeks, you're crazy. This is right now what they're doing is going to, if you ever think this is going to come to an end, right now you could map this out for the next 4 years and see how this is clearly going that direction. So when's the next one? Is it a week from now? Is it a year from now? Does it matter? You're never going to get away from this. Lockdowns, masks, injections, boosters, it's all there. And this is the next cycle. Unless we do something about it.
But unless we establish a new financing mechanism, in my view, we will never be fully prepared. Since the spring,
A new financial mechanism. So we need to set up a new fund, another way to tax you, but from a world perspective. right? That's where do you think the money comes from? Your tax dollars.
Calling for such a mechanism. Italy, too, as the president of the G20, has raised the need for financing.
Okay, so you see what she's describing. Now we're talking about a world. So you're going to be taxed to go to the world, to the fund, right? For the worldwide effort. Right. So now you're being taxed for things that you don't even see result from. Unless they're going to argue, well, it's because it'll save lives even here. It's an unmeasurable metric. Same reason, by the way, which I didn't end up mentioning today or didn't have included, is the fact that Biden's already talking about ordering 500 million more doses to send to somewhere else in the world. Right. Because Biden's just going to pay for that from his bank account. No, you pay for that. You are. While your family can't feed itself, while you lost your job, while you don't know where you're going to live, you're paying out of your tax dollars for some other country to have injections that we know they shouldn't have anyway. These things should drive you crazy.
Over the past months, our nations have met and we have reviewed the reports. We have heard from the experts and they have confirmed yet again, there is not enough funding to adequately prepare for future biological threats.
I know, I'm sorry this thing squeaks and it drives me crazy. It's the microphone arm. I can fix it sometimes, but so somebody made a good comment in the chat. Carbon tax. Think about that. That's a great point. To the concept of how it ties over with the lockdowns, the climate change lockdowns. They're already telling you. They've already suggested this 100 times from the mainstream media. So a carbon tax is what they've already been trying to push, which is just another manipulation. As I've said before, to tax carbon is only going to affect the average person that needs to drive to work. The big companies are going to pay it as a cost of doing business and continue to pollute. You will have to pay more for your gas, which will affect you. That's all that's going to change. The big polluters will continue to do their work. The carbon tax, however, that's a great point, will probably be used as the crossover to where you're being taxed for your pollution, excuse me, and other ways, and that will go toward this. I mean, this is theorizing, but that's a great point. Great point. There's something else I saw in there that I was going to comment and I just lost it. Anyway, I thought that was an excellent point. I do think that there is clearly some kind of a crossover here to where this is all going, because it's going to come together. Like we've been telling you, it will for a long time.
Friends, I do.
Oh, wait. That was what I was thinking about. It was the other point. So she's saying the tax, or talking about that, but what she's saying is that we don't have enough funding. Like, I'm not even sure how do you make sense of that? What do you mean there's not enough funding? So if there's not enough global funding, what do you just make it up? Like, right. I mean, she's talking about the world, right? So how do we not have if there's not enough funding on the planet, are we going to go to the moon? Like, I'm not even sure how that makes any sense.
Has raised the need for financing. And over the past months, our nations have met and we have reviewed the reports. We have heard from the experts and they have confirmed yet again, there is not enough funding to adequately prepare for future biological threats. Friends, I do believe, I know we know.
I mean, I'm really trying to think about that. Like, so where do you argue it's going to come from then? All this means is you're going to be taxed more. So they're going to take more money from you and they're going to use it to fight whatever they claim they're fighting on the global threat stage. Do we vote for that? Does it even matter? No, because they've decided, because you're in danger. See, we're in the state of emergency. It's never going to go away, just like Patriot Act. So they get to just make choices for you because you're in danger and we're in an emergency. So we're just going to pull more money from you to go towards a global fund because we're in an emergency. Because with COVID, we're all going to die, right? Doesn't matter whether it's real or not. This is where we're going. And they've already been driving these steps. Until we realize the majority does not agree with what they're doing, this is going to continue stepping forward. It's time to stand up, guys.
This is a stark warning, and it should be a wake-up call for all of us. Disease surveillance, vaccine development, vaccine delivery.
Disease surveillance. We're talking about medical pre-crime. We're talking about the things that are going to be on the side of the streets, detecting COVID in the air. And that's not a hyperbole. They already exist. They're already using these things in certain areas. Right. So then they've openly discussed this on a bus, whatever. So they'll be able to be like, beep, 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 oh, COVID detected, everyone locked down. Right. And then you have to ask the question, was it even valid? Does it matter? Can it be set off for some other political reason? Right? I mean, there's a thousand reasons why this is absolutely crazy. But you'll see what she mentions right here.
Healthcare worker support. Nations need greater capacity, and they need it now. In this new era, preparedness is a necessity, and it requires sustained and predictable funding that is on top of the emergency response mechanisms that already exist. We need to act so that our world will be ready to respond before and not after the next pandemic emerges. This pandemic caught us off guard.
Oh, did it?
It should not have.
Oh, did it? So you can literally map out exactly what happens, like down to the T, right before it happens, and yet you were caught off guard. So what's the point of Event 201? What's the point of these things? Right? If you don't care, like let's do an exercise about planes flying into buildings. And then, oh my gosh, planes flew into buildings. We were totally unprepared. What did we do? Why do we even know what to do? Oh, that's right. We gamed it out. And we should have known. Like, it's just so stupid how obvious this stuff is. If you care to pay attention. To know before they happen. That is medical pre-crime. And Whitney and I have talked about this ad nauseum. They're going to tell you it's about to happen. So now we need to take action. Because we set this up and we have the infrastructure and we got our notes and our system tells us. So, oh, and guess what? You all locked down and 2 weeks later, guess what? It didn't happen because we were successful. Ah, was it ever really happening? What did they do while we were locked down? There's a thousand things that happen around this. And if you believe your government's not capable of that, then you are not paying attention. Here is Dr. Collins from the NIH. Telling you that boosters are going to happen, right? The FDA just said they said no. Well, at least 65 and under, no, not going to happen. We don't think it's safe. And he comes on and goes, "Yeah, this could happen." Great. So this guy's openly going, "Oh, FDA doesn't know what he's talking about," or FDA, or they're going to do it and they're just lying to you, or who knows what is what he means behind that. But clearly, he suggests that it's going to happen anyway, which I agree with. They're going to do it anyway because that's the point. Take a listen.
Joining us now, the director of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Francis Collins. Doctor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Glad to be with you, Chris. There's a lot to talk about this morning.
There is indeed. Let's get to it. So let's start with that FDA advisory panel, which, as we've said, supported the idea of booster shots for people 65 and older or those most at risk, but rejected the idea of booster shots for the general population. Here's what President Biden said last month.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot 8 months after you got your second shot.
Dr. Collins, is the advisory panel right?
It's so crazy to watch, like, to jump from somebody talking normally to Biden and just be like, the guy is to do booster shot. You know, it's like he's so clearly not. He's just going from word to word. And I'm not even. It's not about attacking Biden. It's just so embarrassing how we can't admit that this guy is clearly struggling. Anyway,
do you now agree with them on this limited booster program over what the president was proposing last month? The general population getting boosters, which he said was based on advice from his medical experts, including you.
Before he answers, what's interesting is Chris Wallace here, whether, you know, it doesn't matter why, he asked questions in this that I think are good questions and puts it to him. And I just think it's funny. So basically he's saying, so you guys all told him this should happen. The FDA comes out and says they're not going to do it. So have you changed your mind? That's essentially what he's asking. Like, do you now agree with the FDA because their expert said so?
You know, Chris, I think there's less difference between where we were in the middle of August and what the advisory committee said this past Friday. They did encourage and vote for the administration of boosters to people over 65 and those at high risk of exposure. Those are the people who would be most likely to reach that 8-month period because that's how we prioritized initial immunizations back in January.
And those people, by the way, are the most at risk from this injection, just so we're all clear about that, right? I mean, especially if they have natural immunity, especially if they've already had two shots, especially these are people that are already struggling in regard to their immune system and everything else because of what they're already dealing with. And yet they're getting the boosters. We're watching it happen in Israel, for crying out loud. They don't care.
So I don't think there's huge differences here. I think the big news is that they actually did approve the initiation of boosters. And remember, they're taking a snapshot of right now. We're going to see what happens in the coming weeks. It would surprise me if it does not become clear over the next few weeks that that administration of boosters may need to be enlarged. Based upon the data that we've already seen, both in the U.S. and in Israel, it's clear the waning of the effectiveness of those vaccines is a reality, and we need to respond to it.
But okay, so right there, he's admitting something that they were, I mean, even right now in many circles, acting like is not happening. This is the part that I'm always pointing out, the absurdity of us being censored for something that is now a fact. Like, even while it's being quasi-admitted, right? Like, yes, it's waning. You do not have this after this, right? The immunity, if it ever was there to begin with, or whatever, the antibodies that don't even affect what we're dealing with, the mucosal immunity, on and on, goes away after months, even though we're pointing out the natural immunity is lasting, durable, robust from every single institution they tell you to listen to. The Lancet, WHO, Nature, Science Mag, all of them. T-cell, memory B, all of them, antibodies, all of it. The WHO puts it at 99% of people. Nature puts it at the rest of your life for most of them. Right? I mean, I've shown you all this 100 times over. And here we are going, 3 months later and it goes away. But we're boosters and new shots. And seriously, I mean, it's just outrageous. And these are people, by and large, most of them, the majority of the population, literally not at risk. That's from their data. You don't just average out the high-risk people and act like everyone's at risk. That's crazy. Especially under 19, even according to the Oxford calculator, you're at 1 in 1 million, according to Oxford. 1 in 1 million. But yeah, you're going to give them an injection that has all sorts of these rare side effects that aren't really rare when you break it down. And even if it is rare, it's higher than 1 in 1 million. So you're getting a risk. I guess this is basic, guys. But what he's saying is that it wanes, and they're admitting that. Right? And he's admitting that the Israeli data, but actually what he's also kind of simultaneously saying is that even with the data we already know, what he's saying is that we need boosters. He's using the failure of the same shot to justify more of that same failure shot. I've been saying that from the beginning. Sure, 1, 2 didn't work. Let's give them a third of the same thing and hope that works. Hooray. How about the fact that they're admitting that the Delta variant is not working, or the vaccine's not working against the Delta variant or Lambda or Mu, but they're going to say, let's keep doing it because it might work with the third one? You just said that, I mean, the newest, one of the studies we showed you said almost completely vaccine resistant. Or, I mean, I'm saying that backwards. Vaccine resistant. The variant, vaccine resistant, right? It doesn't work. So how in the world are we pretending with natural immunity and the concept of vaccine resistant that any of this makes any sense whatsoever? You see, the only way that this conversation is never had outside of people that understand what's going on. Like these people, if you bring all this stuff up, it's simply fake news. Despite the fact that they're saying half the time what they're saying themselves. He's admitting it's waning. Go talk about this on Twitter and they will talk your ear off about fake news forever. Say, well, it's unverified and it's supposed to possibly the rest of your life, but 6 months is about, that's what I swear to God. I keep doing that with people. And on Twitter, people are responding by saying that, well, we don't know how long natural immunity lasts, but we know the vaccine lasts for the rest of your life or things like that. It goes back to the point we made in the beginning. The point of, was it this one? Shoot. Whichever one it was. This one. Of the Democrat Party or any people in government not having the correct information while censoring people that are spreading the correct information. Where were we? Here we go.
But they looked at where we were on Friday and said, here's where the data is convincing to start now. And we'll see what CDC says later this week.
But just to be clear, what you're saying is you still think, and I understand the people further down the list, younger people, healthier people didn't get their vaccines as early in the process. You still think that we're going to need a booster program for everyone.
I'm not sure about absolutely everyone. We'll have to see what they say ultimately about the youngest individuals because of concerns about benefits and risk. But I will be surprised if boosters are not recommended for people under 65 going forward in the next few weeks. But we'll wait and see.
Right. So there you go. So the pretend back and forth, like, oh, we're like, hooray, the FDA said no. And it's probably the plan from the beginning. Right. We have to see this. And I'm not saying I know that for sure. But here he is telling us, give it a couple of weeks. They'll probably do it in a couple of weeks. Great. So what's going to change in a couple of weeks? How in the world are we going to pretend like the data suddenly changes in 2 weeks? It's already happened more than once where they all a couple of weeks later and then they do it. Okay, great. We looked at it further, harder, right? I mean, come on. The data has been, this has been there for a long time and we've been showing it to you. He thinks they should do it. And all he's saying is, yeah, maybe not the really young kids. Seriously? And as somebody points out in the chat, and I've already said this a few times, then this is, you know, we can't necessarily prove this, but I actually agree with correlation that there's a certain, based on my speech, for instance, the idea of the illusion, which is certainly a valid possibility that this entire thing could arguably be created for, I mean, you could make an honest case for why there's enough misinformation, taking flu and pneumonia and PCR tests and so on. You could make this look like it was happening and then frame the injuries happening after the injection as something else continuing. Right. So the point being is that people are arguing that the vaccine, the injuries being caused or the spike protein itself spreading and continuing to is what they're claiming is Delta and so on and going forward. It's certainly a valid thing to argue. Right. I mean, they haven't disproven, as far as I'm concerned, any number of these things. So all they say is this is the case. Trust us. It's very possible. How many times have we pointed this out? The spike protein itself can shed, can spread, can cause disease alone, according to the Salk Institute. So if it's able to spread, shed, according to Dr. Warren, one of the inventors of it, and it can be caught and can cause disease and then spread again, is that not what we're looking at? Is that being called Delta? Is that being called Mu? Or about the fact that I talk about masks. Masks cause bacterial pneumonia. Very, very clearly are capable of doing so based on everything you can see, based on Dr. James Lyons Weiler, PhD, agreeing with that and plenty of other people. It's a no-brainer, he said. That you can spread. People can catch it. Guess what the symptoms look like? COVID-19. There's 1,000 reasons you could make this argument. My point simply is that this is a manipulation in a lot of different ways. And there's 1,000 reasons why right now the injection doesn't make sense based on what they're also telling you. This is what I'm always arguing from within their narrative. And here they are just saying, get the shot anyway, because it's safe and it's effective. And we all agree. Like, just rattle off those points at the end. That's all people listen to. He just told you that it's waning after months, but take another one though, even though we don't know. And this is the point that Doctors for COVID Ethics made in that study from the compilation. That was one of the largest points. This point is, as they say right here, it says, given, and this is a really important point, given that no clinical trials involved more than 2 injections of any vaccine, it is important that doctors and patients understand where the latest science leaves us in terms of how the vaccines interact with our immune system, right? They haven't done studies on 3 shots, guys. They did a study on 2. Now there's a pause. Now they're doing a study on the 1 booster. They have not done studies on 1, 2, and then 3. There are people right now, after 3 months, they're going to be getting their 3rd or even less time. There's people that have gotten out outside of their doctor's orders and gotten an extra shot because they wanted to. There's been all sorts of mainstream articles about that. They have not studied this, just like they haven't studied the menstrual problems. They're doing it now, pretending like they know already. This is the point. That's alarming. And they're acting like it makes perfect sense going forward, no matter what.
You know, Chris, what you're seeing here is science playing out in a very transparent way. This is the way it ought to be.
Science playing out in a very transparent way. Is that what it feels like to you?
A little trouble that people are complaining that the process isn't working for them. The process is to look at the data, have the experts consider it, and then make their best judgment at that point, recognizing that the judgments may change. If people want an absolutely authoritative statement about here's the right answer, well, that's not what our country is all about. Move to China. You'll get it there.
Oh my God, can you believe he said that? Yeah, just go to the play. If you want an authoritative statement, that's not how we work. Oh, except for take this shot or you're going to be arrested or to wear the mask or you're going to go to jail or you'll lose your job. But that's not happening here. Go to China. Are you serious, dude? Like, are you seriously trying to argue that we're not being forced to do things that, against our will, that only happens in China? We're literally living through that. That's the authoritative statements, mandates are happening across the whole damn country. How, I mean, this guy is wildly out of touch or just doesn't care either way. But it's also ridiculous to argue that, you know, it might change tomorrow, which is the case, of course. But is that based on science if it's going to change tomorrow? Or is that based on narrative, rhetoric, assumptions? Typically, science is about the scientific method, fleshing it out, and then having things to stand on pretty sturdily. But that the science can evolve. New information can come along. But to argue that one day to the next, the whole thing could change based on some new study, some new information. Where was that last time? That's crazy. they're going to continue to do so. Now, they're going to try to act like I'm spreading misinformation by arguing what he's saying is wrong. The point is, that's not how this has happened before. But yeah, go to China, because that's the only place handing down authoritative mandates or authoritative mandates. But the boosters are coming, no matter what. He thinks they're going to keep happening anyway. How much you want to bet he's right? And of course, to make this point, here is Disclosed TV. Just in, Israeli Ministry of Health announces that the green pass, don't forget why it's called that, for vaccinated expires within 6 months, have passed after the second dose. Exactly. So after 6 months of the second dose, now you're no longer vaccinated. Just like we promised you in the very beginning of all this, that would happen. Remember? And guess what? Now, also 6 months after the third dose. Anybody confused about what that means? A fourth. There's no question. If it expires after 6 months, well, there's going to be a fourth. And guess what? There's going to be a fifth and a sixth after that. And another after every 6 months. They just let the cat out of the bag. But we're crazy, right? Because we're the ones telling you this was going to happen from long before it happened. How could we possibly know that? Well, because this was the plan, if you're paying attention. 6 months after the second dose. So right now, if you're out there and you've gotten two shots, just understand that you are going to get in a position in some point in the very near future where you're no longer fully vaccinated unless you get the next thing. That's where this is going. She just told you. The next one, the next plan. Like, I mean, this is going to be your future unless you stop it. There's no way if they said this in the beginning and said every 6 months, you're going to have to get a shot. And if you don't, you're going to be restricted from your life. You would have said, hell no. Like I said in the beginning, if you knew this was going to last 6 months, gee, that went fast, didn't it? If you knew this was going to last a year, well, that went fast, didn't it? If you knew this was going to last 2 years, would you still be complying right now? Well, a lot of you said, that'll never happen. Just wear your mask and we'll go back to normal. Well, here we are. How about this, guys? If you knew this was going to last 10 years, right now, even those fully vaccinated out there, if you knew right now this was going to last for the next 10 years, would you keep doing it? Well, God, I hope I don't come back in 10 years and say, see? Now, how about we try 20 years, right? We did 15 days to flatten the curve. We did 6 months. We did a year. We did a year and a half. We're going on 2 years now. If you knew this was going to last for 2 years, would you still be complying right now? Please recognize what we're saying. And as I said, amazing the level of mental gymnastics many are doing to pretend that those that they deem conspiracy theorists have not been spot on COVID the entire time. And no, that does not mean that everyone called, all these typos, that badge of honor is now or has been correct. The point being that just because someone's called a conspiracy theorist does not make them correct now. The point is there's a lot of people out there that get deemed conspiracy theorists that are spreading things that are not sound. Doesn't mean that I agree with the title. I think it's a ridiculous title. The point is that there's people out there being called conspiracy theorists like us that have been damn near correct on almost all these points throughout this whole process. And every time they go, oh, but it's somehow still fake news, even though we were just vindicated over and over and over and over. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Now, moving over to an ivermectin point I want to make real quick. That's what I found very interesting. Somebody sent this to me on the NIH website. They updated this on February 11th. Look at what it says. First of all, ivermectin is not approved by the FDA for treatment of any viral infection, is what they say. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Aspirin's not FDA approved for 1,000 things it gets used for, right? So that's not necessarily a metric. They use it when they want to. How about the fact that we were forcing other things on people that weren't FDA approved? Oh, it was emergency authorized. Okay, same point. It's funny how it means something when they want it to, right? But here's the point. Reports from in vitro studies suggest that ivermectin acts by inhibiting the host important alpha beta 1 nuclear transport proteins, which are part of a key intracellular transport process that viruses hijack to enhance infection by suppressing the host's antiviral response. So they literally admitted there are scientific studies that say it does what we just said it's not used for. In addition, it says ivermectin docking may interfere with the attachment of severe acute with SARS-CoV-2, the spike protein, to human cells. So it may stop the thing causing the illness. No, we can't use that. Despite this, and this is, understand, this is at a time when people are being like accused, and I mean the absurd mainstream media coverage of this topic is so one of the most obvious points in this whole narrative. They lost it. They literally lost the plot with their horse-paced nonsense. And they, I think they woke a lot of people up with that garbage. It's just, it's so insulting. I mean, I think they've underestimated the intelligence of the average American. So they admit it may stop the one thing you need to stop this from hurting you. And we've already shown you the scientific research that literally says that. They don't care about that though. But they'll cite the other ones and say, oh, it could help in regard to exactly the kind of thing that stops the antiviral. This is despite this in vitro activity, no clinical trials have reported a clinical benefit for ivermectin in patients with these viruses. Ah, so not with these viruses. Okay. So we won't even consider this, despite the fact that we're willing to try experimental gene therapy, all sorts of other things, experimental, unapproved, all these different things. By the way, they do the thing, they did that with masks, with PCR tests. These are all emergency authorized. But we're unwilling, not even possible, to try something that has decades of efficacy, even in regard to other viruses, because we just haven't done it for this one. Same point I made before. That's a willful misrepresentation. Some studies of ivermectin have also reported potential anti-inflammatory properties, which have been postulated to be beneficial in people with COVID-19. Yeah, and they even cite the studies. This is unreal how obvious it is, even with what they're grudgingly admitting on their own website from February. Do you understand that they're admitting in this website from February that this is used on humans, and yet the media nonetheless went on this ridiculous witch hunt about Joe Rogan and horse paste? These people are ridiculous clown shows. Like these people, because I argue most of the media don't even realize they're wrong. How stupid is that? Some observational cohorts and clinical trials have evaluated the use of ivermectin for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19. Data from some of these studies can be found on Table 2C on this document. Recommendation. And they say, based on all that stuff, though, there is insufficient evidence for COVID-19 treatment guidelines panel to recommend either for or against the use of ivermectin. So we just don't talk about it. We don't know for sure. We don't know if it could work. We don't know if it doesn't work. That means they don't know, just like they do with VAERS. Well, we don't know, but you don't forget, in COVID clown world, we don't know means it's not, doesn't work. It's fake news. It's dangerous. Unless they don't want it to be, right? We don't know whether this is safe and effective, but we're going to use it because it's safe and effective and it benefits other risks. Right. They just told you they don't know in regard to ivermectin, but the media went haywire, screaming that we know. Of course we know. It's horse paste and you're stupid and you're dangerous. It's conspiracy theory. But here's the NIH literally telling you it could work. Here's studies that literally say it works, but we choose not to look into it, so we don't know for sure. So we're not going to recommend it for or against. That's a coward's move. In fact, that is a coward's move that leads exactly into the justification for the emergency use authorization, exactly into the narrative and the illusion that's been built around you based on these lies. And here's Medscape from today saying, doctors should avoid being bullied into giving ivermectin. Right. Bullied into giving the thing that seems to have a very solid effect. And in a situation where people are being told to do nothing, nothing. My own father went through this. Nothing. They're going, oh, go home. Here's Tylenol. And if you start to get severely sick, we'll come back and then we'll give you a shot. Or excuse me, not a shot. Then we'll give you a ventilator and we'll deal with it. However we deal with it then. The point is, these are people that already got injected, sadly enough. So they start to show symptoms and you don't give them things that help those symptoms. You don't give them things that improve their immune system. You don't give them things that could potentially help in every possible way in regard to what they're dealing with. Exactly like what you think this might do, even if you don't know for sure. Exactly. You ignore all of that and you go home until you get real sick and then come back so we can scream continually about how our hospital is overwhelmed. What you should be doing is giving prophylactic treatment, vitamin D, vitamin C, all sorts of other things that absolutely have historically done this. The fact that they're not doing anything until they get sick is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So frustrating to me that this is even happening. Now, here's the high wire pointing out. Quote, employees must affirm conscious objections to vaccines by promising to avoid all drugs with alleged connections to fetal cell lines. Arkansas hospital system makes workers vow to give up antibiotics, Tylenol in order to get COVID vaccine exemptions. So yet again, they're in a situation where they're going, well, if you want to say you're exempt to this injection because of fetal line, you know, fetal cells or whatever you're, well, then we're going to force you to write down that you're also going to stop taking antibiotics and Tylenol. How dare they? Like, what right do they think they have? These people are drunk on their own power. It's disgusting, but it just shows you the dishonest nature of all of this. They've already decided that you're wrong before you even spoke, if you're unwilling to do what they want you to do. And finally, on a little side note about employees, which is what they're talking about in the other point right there. As I pointed out before, NBA players not required to get COVID vaccine. And as I simply said, this is fantastic to see. Now, on that note, how in the world are they going to rationalize or justify this? As it directly challenges their narrative in a very prominent way. Are they going to wear masks while they play? Obviously not. So they're not going to force them to get injected. They're going to be intermingling around everybody, you know, whether in the courtroom or on the court or around other people anywhere else. And they don't have to do it. Why exactly? I mean, that's great. I agree. I don't think anybody should have to do it. But why does that make sense? Because they're special. They're elitists, in the elite circles, I should say. That's it. So it shows you that there's no choice. It's just simply subjective. Well, you don't get to do it because we don't want athletes, as somebody pointed out, dropping on the court in front of live TV, right? Sort of like they were doing in the Olympics and everywhere else. Well, let's avoid that problem where they have heart attacks in front of everybody, right? Either way, it doesn't make sense. Either it's the biggest pandemic in a century and everyone's got to get this or we're all going to die, or it's not. You don't get to make exceptions because of a tennis match or another soccer match or anything else we've already seen happen in the UK. Well, this is Wimbledon's important, so we're going to just not do it. Cool. But you have to in your own hometown because you're a dirty anti-vaxxer. Well, all of this being stated, they're still trying to force this on children, despite the fact that they have a 0% risk. 0% risk. Pfizer and BioNTech announced positive top-line results. Great. So Pfizer stands up again and goes, guess what? 90% effective. Okay, well, how'd that work out last time? Remember the hot flash in a pan results that even, I think, Bloomberg reported on and said, well, they pretty much lied to you. Shocking. Pfizer lied yet again. Their $4 billion plus payout for lies and safety issues. And yeah, it was shocking they would lie again. I know, right? But they pretty much did a very quick study, which by the way, the government was absolutely involved with facilitating. They chose not to investigate whether it stopped transmission, which Tal Zaks from Moderna admitted in an interview. All we had to do was be paid more. We would have found out. Nope, the U.S. government made a conscious choice to not find out, probably because it never was intended to. That's what leads to the variants, right? But that's my train of thoughts, my thread. 5 to 11-year-olds. That are zero risk. That's right. They're telling you it's effective, right? My point was, how did that work out last time? They continue to tell, oh, it was 90%, 100% effective. And here we are. That's what it was. The hot flash in the pan, quick results. And it clearly was designed to show you what they wanted you to see. And it dissipated immediately, if it ever was really there. Oh, this is the one point here. It says Pfizer BioNTech plan to share these data, with the FDA. And the European Medicines Agency and other regulatory agencies as soon as possible for the United States. Guess what? The company expects to include the data in near-term submission for emergency use authorization. Right. So how can you pretend something is enough to be approved and we're not in a technical emergency based on every possible metric you can point to? You can't point back to what happened last year and claim we're still in an emergency now. The metrics don't add up. They didn't add up then, by the way. As I keep saying, the U.S. government's own metrics for what determined a pandemic, we never met it from the beginning. We were like a class one or two. I think Del Bigtree pointed that out. But we're definitely not now. So they're going to emergency authorize another shot for children at a time when they've so-called approved the same thing. Like, how does that even make sense? The point is, this is not a normal process. Here's the finishing the sentence. For the United States, the companies expect to include data in near-term submission for emergency use authorization as they continue to accumulate the safety and efficacy data required to file for full FDA approval in the group. So right now, again, remember that they just told you it's full approval, but yet somehow they're going to apply for full approval again. Yeah, because that lines up. As they continue to accumulate the safety and efficacy data, meaning they don't have all the data. There's no way to misread that. If they're continuing to accumulate safety and efficacy data, they have a limited perspective of that now. That's why it's emergency authorized, not approved, because that's what that means. They've all lied to you. I've shown it to you right on their websites. It means they don't know for sure about the safety and efficacy. However, it means what they do know outweighs the clear risks we can see, except they're not at risk. They're at 0% risk. And this thing is both not fully fleshed out, and the risks we do know are more than 0%. So this is dishonest, criminal in every possible way. But how much you want to bet they emergency authorize it for children who do not need it? And then it gets mandated for schools, which is already happening. This is disgusting. Now, the problem is, here comes Pfizer and says, guess what? It works and everything's effective. And every media outlet jumps up and says, hey, it works. They said so. Great job, CNN Health. Great job. Guess what happened last time? CNN, everyone jumped up and said 99% effective. And that very quickly was shown to be false because these guys are journalists, right? Journalists simply repeat what these people say, right? Right. So how, I mean, at the very least, it should be Pfizer says this. I mean, that's what they're saying, but you read the article, that's not what the point is. This is working. When Pfizer says it, the government backs it up. The media backs it up every single time. Shows a robust antibody response. Every outlet does their job. COVID vaccine prompts strong immune response. Pfizer says COVID vaccine, right? If you're a media outlet, is your job just to go, Pfizer said this? No, your job is to vet whether what Pfizer said was correct. But they don't care. They repeat what they're told because that's what their real job is, guys. Pfizer BioNTech says COVID vaccine safe. Protective. Okay, so I guess it's not safe and effective. Now it's safe and protective. Maybe they're removing the goalpost again. Either way, how in the world is this thing supposed to be safe and protective in kids 5 to 11 when we already know that this is the same stuff. This is the same substance, guys. Causes vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia, causes blood clots, causes Bell's palsy. It causes on and on and on. You know, so many other things I'm blanking on. Myocarditis, an obvious one that's huge. That's all been shown. All of that is higher than the normal risk, specifically myocarditis. I don't care if it's 0.001%. It's more than zero, which these kids are experiencing. 0% risk. Doesn't matter, though. Here's a great point made by Kimmy Bona. Not familiar, but this is my comment under that. I think I even showed what I tweeted. All I just simply said was, so we have yet again been directly told that thinking for yourself is dangerous. All right. Four little words. Do your own research. It's hurting pandemic response. As this person points out, mainstream media keeps saying, well, no vaccine is perfect. Like we are all childish forever believing they would protect us. I love this point because it shows you the moving of the goalpost, acting like we're dumb forever thinking what they told us to believe. Sort of like they go, we never told anybody that the Iraq invaded America. Like, yeah, you really did, though. And that was the whole premise. And you pretended like you didn't after it was the shifting of the narrative, right? Where could we ever have gotten the foolish idea that the vaccinated people wouldn't contract COVID, sick or get sick or die? Stop gaslighting us. The vaccines are failing. And here's the point. Oh, look at that. Refinery 29. The vaccines are nearly 100% effective. Oh, look at that. And this is back when they were still saying that, remember? Clearly, not even remotely close to 100% effective about severe disease and death or any factor. And also forget, this was a straight up lie, as it was just admitted by even mainstream. They never even tried to look at severe disease and death. It was about mild to moderate illness. That was it. I've proven this to you 100 times over. Even Forbes reported it. And yet they kept saying this. It was a straight up lie. I think Steve Gottlieb said this, and this was what was pointed out, is that he kept saying it was that we should have done that. It did not reach that point. But going to the next one, guess what? This is from Pfizer itself. This is from Pfizer's own website. Vaccine was 100% effective. Vaccine was 100%. I made jokes about this in the beginning because it's a stupid thing to claim. Anything is 100% effective. There's going to be one person, even if it is 100%, that it just doesn't work for some reason. That's not 100%. So it's stupid, but this was for a reason. They were trying to convince you. Here's another one. This is AstraZeneca. COVID vaccine confirms 100% protection. Right. There it says varying effectiveness rates. The vaccines were all 100% effective in trials and stopping hospitalization death. That is a lie. That's USA Today. That's one of your fact checks, guys. Great job, fact checkers. Get the point again. Where could we have ever gotten the foolish idea? Yeah, well, no vaccine's perfect. Well, isn't that what 100% means? You dumb manipulators. God, it's just staggering to me. But we'll jam it down kids' arms because Pfizer says it works. Yeah, well, they said that last time too. Johnson & Johnson, this is from yesterday. Johnson & Johnson says booster provides 94% effective. Here we are again. But let's just cite what they say because fact, right? Johnson & Johnson says, well, they said last time too. And they said 100%. Well, now it's 94%. Here's CNN, same thing. Two dose of Johnson & Johnson. You get that? Two dose version. Now we're on a whole other version. Now we're giving it, we're trying it now, two dose. Let's just roll the dice and see what else we get. Let's throw spaghetti against the wall and see. Well, we'll do a 17 version of this one mixed with Pfizer and see if that works for you. 94% effective against COVID-19. This stuff drives me crazy because they're trying to force it on your children and they're going off what Pfizer says, despite the fact that Pfizer has an obvious track record that you should know about in case you didn't. I'll just include this for you to look at for yourself. $4.6 billion for things like safety-related offenses, right? False Claims Act, billions of dollars paid out to 19 crimes. That's lying about adverse events, lying about how the vaccine works. Yeah, but let's trust them today because Pfizer, as you can see, is a great company that doesn't lie and does everything good and altruistic for you, right? Right. So trust them because Pfizer says, because Johnson & Johnson says, because that's the right thing to do. Do the right thing. Right. So when this number jumps down to like 3% based on vaccine resistance and everything else they're telling you, they're not including in this study as they test this against the original version, which is what this is doing. Against the wild strain, the original strain, right? This point that they're still using the original strain to test this and the Delta, what they're telling you is there. And they pump this out claiming it's 94% effective and it hurts your body because it's not on and on. This is the top. This is the science they tell you to trust. And they're not even looking at it. But this brings us over to Australia. Australia, which is literally attacking people in aggressive and really just criminal ways. Because they're outside, because they're saying things they shouldn't say, because this is your future, because this is the pilot program for where your world is going in the United States. And you should always know that, as Caitlin Johnstone has pointed out, who's from Australia, that's how this works. And this is out. This is crazy to me where this is actually going. As it says, elderly Australian woman knocked down and pepper sprayed by police during a protest. An old woman knocked to the ground, and while she's laying on the ground, they pepper spray her because clearly she's a threat. No, this is about making you hurt for doing what you're not supposed to do. It's penalizing you. This is punitive. We're going to hit you. We're going to kick you. We're going to spray you. Let's not pretend like it doesn't come down from the government. This criminal government that's running this place right now. This is an authoritarian situation. Same in our situation. It's just not as developed. Here's the actual picture, it looks like. Old woman on the ground. Look at what he's doing. She is laying on her back and he is spraying. That spray is still going. That is a criminal right there. That is a horrible person that wants to make her suffer for doing what he's decided makes her a bad person. Or a mindless order follower that is might as well be locked up, just like we're talking about with Nuremberg. And, you know, people that just go along with the orders are still accountable for their crimes. They're doing this for her health, her safety, and for the greater good. Remember, you're a conspiracy theorist if you even think to question if this may really be about control and compliance. Here is somebody about to kick somebody who's on the ground, which is totally against the law, right? Here's a police officer standing there watching this kid be accosted by these cops, right? For you know, existing outside without a mask or whatever else is going on. Watch. And just so you know, that guy is in no way doing anything. He's reaching up slowly, it seems. Watch. And this guy even looks back. Watch what he does. Kick right in his face. Right in his face. Okay. How about something else? Here's another one. This is crazy. This one is a guy speaking to other police officers in a very calm manner. Sitting there speaking to him. And even you can even see here what he's saying, and he has subtitles in case you can't. Watch what this cop walks up and does. Now, you have to, there's no way to pretend that this isn't anything other than an angry cop who's mad about what this guy is saying and wants to take it out on him because he's been given the carte blanche to attack people who aren't going along with what the government says they have to do, even though it's against the law.
Surprise, he's back.
No, just in case you can't hear it. And first of all, the guy says, surprise, he's back, which means that this cop clearly has been doing this elsewhere. And it says, I know you're busy right now, vice police, but please take the time to up the standards here. You will eventually kill someone doing stuff like this. So he's talking to this kid, the people there. Okay. Now watch what this cop does.
Shit.
That is absolutely crazy.
Oh! Oh!
My God. That guy should be put in prison. I promise you that did damage to that person. Like, I mean, that was crazy. That at the very least gave him a concussion. I promise that. I mean, the way he slammed him down was so wildly unjustified. That person should be put in prison. COVID-19 or not. That's crazy. I mean, I honestly, here's something we'll probably, some people disagree with. I don't care what that guy did. You have rights in the world we pretend we live in. I don't care if you just went over and killed somebody. The point is that at that moment, you are not putting people at risk. And so you come up to that person and you come up there and you handcuff him. I mean, use the other 17 cops around him and bring him down. The idea that you're supposed to take violent action when somebody's a threat. And remember, we're not talking about killing somebody. We're talking about somebody who's calmly talking about things he's not supposed to talk about. This is the world that they've created. He's just a bad person for not doing what he's supposed to do. Now, here is something I want people to take note of. As this says, a very dark day in Australian history. I can't believe it has gotten to this point. Now, two things to take away from this and the next one. First of all, that you outnumber them exponentially. And two, that if you should take a stand non-violently is what I'm talking about, there's no way they can respond other than passive acceptance. They've already made this point before in regard to how if they can't arrest all these people, because if they arrest a certain percentage, it brings down the whole damn system because they cannot do it. They don't have the resources for it. They know that. And even the Australian government, or maybe I think it was the UK government, one of the people admitted this. They said, look, we have an exact percentage. We know literally down to the person how many people we can do this to. And we acknowledge this area is too many. We can't. So they know in the back of their minds, okay, if this gets pushed, we have to stand down. Watch what happens. Okay, now it's getting violent, and I'm not condoning that. My point is that after these people start to pass, they pretty much just stop. Because what are they going to do? But it's terrible because this is what these people are in a point where they are literally fending for their lives. You realize that, right? People are starving. People are struggling. People are having their lives removed from them. People are having their children forcefully injected with things that they don't agree with. This is happening all over the world, is what I'm saying, guys. And so people are at a point where they not incorrectly feel like this is a serious position. So you stand there in their way, and I never agree or condone with violence because I do not think it's the right choice, but I understand why people feel it's justified. And this is what this will lead to, guys. But my point is, I also think this is what they want to drive it to. They would drive it to this point so they can use that violence to justify what they then do next. That'll happen regardless, I think, because it's going to lead to this point because they're driving it. Okay, my point is right there. You got to a point where these cops are just kind of, they're in the crowd, right? It just dissipates all of a sudden, and you can see they're kind of just going with everything. Like right there, they're just standing there. See what I mean? What do you do? What do they do after that point? It's over. They stand aside, and they let it happen. I mean, even take note that no one's attacking that guy. They're just getting by, right? It was the people in the in the front line that did it because they, for whatever reason, they needed to get by or they wanted to make a point. Regardless, this cop is standing in a crowd full of people that they're arguing are all violent and they're just running by him. You see where the violence comes from? Because they're violent, because they're the ones spraying and attacking. And Derek Brose has covered this so many times. They come in with violent tactics, which drive out the violence, the kettling tactic, the spraying. That's what they do. Derek Brose has been there as a journalist one time on Conscious Resistance and for T-Lab, since we talked about it. And he was there as a journalist, openly told them, I'm a journalist. They sprayed him, attacked him anyway. That's what the violence is. If these people were inherently violent, they'd be attacking this guy right now. Look at him just spraying as they run by, because that's the right thing to do, right? That's vindictive, guys. Look at these people standing there getting sprayed. Look at that. You see that? Look at these two couple right here. Watch this. These people are trying to get cover for themselves. And, you know, maybe they're not part of the program. I don't know. They're hiding by the cops. Look at the white shirt right there. What, they push them? I mean, seriously? Right? Is your job to protect and serve or to act out as government thugs? Right? I mean, get away from me, citizen. It's like, what? It's just incredible to me how these people are acting. And this is only like this because it has been justified. The government has allowed this to be the case because that's what they want to be happening. I mean, how else do you understand? There's no way. If they simply backed down and gave people the choice to do what they wanted to do based on what they understand, you know, freedom and all, well, we'd be like Sweden, wouldn't we? And Sweden is sitting there showing the world how we're all being crazy. That's why no one's talking about it, because they're not forcing it and they don't have the problem, right? I mean, it's pretty damn obvious.
Fuck, they throw shit at the coppers. Look at that. Look at that. They throw shit at the coppers. Get him. Whoa. What the hell, man? Whoa, whoa, whoa! 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 Whoa, whoa! What? Shit! Fuck!
You know, just a normal day in pandemic Australia, right? I mean, look, you are driving these people to desperation, which, by the way, is exactly the plan. And then when they react in a way out of desperation, you use that as justification to use more force. It's pretty damn simple. I don't know why we can't see this. This is your future, guys. It's already starting to happen.
This is a police public order warning. You have previously been directed to leave. Leave now or force may be used. No further warnings will be given.
God, it's almost surreal, right? I mean, this is intense and crazy. This is literally a movie that they could have made 5 years before they started, right? I mean, nobody would have pretended this is acceptable, right? If you would have argued this was an acceptable action to take, to force people into quarantine, to force people to take injections, to force people to wear masks, to force people to do what you tell them to do for their health, people would have laughed at you. They would have said, that'll never happen. This is freedom. This is democracy. This is the West. That'll never happen. Of course not. Except in a boiling frog scenario. One step at a time. The totalitarian tiptoe, it's called, right? They slowly inch it forward with justifications. But we'll never go any further because that would never happen in the free country. Oh, one more step. Well, we have to because of this. Or we have to because of fake news. We have to for your safety. We have to. We have to. We have to. And here we are. Now ask yourself, what's going to be justified tomorrow? What's going to be justified the next week, the next month, the next 2 years? Where will we be in 2 years if you allow this to continue? You know, meanwhile, here's Denmark. So understand how crazy this is. This is Australia telling you that if we don't do this, you're all going to die. And here's Denmark, fully lifting COVID-19 restrictions. Right. And Sweden, who never really did it in the first place and has proven to you that this is an entire illusion. Nobody cares. Australia's South Wales has recorded its highest COVID caseload ever. Right. Okay. So caseload. This is about cases, right? We're not, if you look at the deaths of Australia, it's basically non-existent. So it's an illusion, guys. They are forcing you a new position to make this happen. Meanwhile, there's places all around the world that are proving to you that it's not necessary. And I guess we just pretend that's not the case. It's never been more clear. Now, to finish off, reasonably quickly, because I actually just want to rattle through this really this discussion, because we've done this really deep a lot. What I want to make a comment for on the Wuhan discussion, that a lot of this has come out recently. I've had this on the back burner for at least a couple of weeks. This came out on September 6th. So at least a couple of weeks. New details emerge about coronavirus research at Chinese lab. Okay, so 900 pages. Now, I don't think this is anything new. Now, there's a couple things in here, but at the end of the day, you read through this, this amounts to framing what we've all known about EcoHealth Alliance, North Carolina University, and Wuhan Lab, and NIH, and NIAID, and Fauci, and funding of the research from the damn beginning. We've been talking about this since before COVID-19, guys. Bioengineer weaponing. I mean, we've been bioweapons and the manipulation of Fort Detrick. We've been covering this before COVID ever came around. That's why it was such an interesting topic to me right out of the gate, because of all the things that were happening around that topic. You remember, right out of the gate, we were talking about this. So to kind of act like we're all new 900 pages of breaking information about detailing the work of EcoHealth Alliance, that used federal money to fund bat coronavirus research at a Chinese lab. Like, okay, well, that, see, I've been making this point for the last probably 6 months. A lot of the right-leaning media has been kind of framing things that are very on record public things as some kind of break. Oh, EcoHealth Alliance was funding Wuhan Lab. It's like, yes, we talked about that for 6 months ago. Now, I'm not trying to say that all of it's like that. There's 900 pages and there's plenty of things they even talk about that are interesting. But my point is, I feel like this is framing the situation that we've already known as some kind of new story, like pointing the fact that new EcoHealth Alliance was helping fund this points to Fauci. And you know what I mean? It's really strange to me. It's worth reading, but I feel like it's almost meant to drudge this back up. I really don't have a lot of faith in what The Intercept has been doing lately. And Whitney has a lot of thoughts on the same point for who funds it, where it's going. I'm really skeptical. But nonetheless, the point is that this is the case. As the defender points out, yes, Fauci lied to Congress. But the 900 pages didn't change that, right? This is my point, is the argument is kind of that we have this breaking new information, and now we know we lied. That's kind of the point they make here. It's like, well, no, we knew that before. How did Rand Paul know before this came out? We knew because it was public knowledge. It was obvious based on the information Rand Paul in his hand that we've talked about before, based on the documentation I showed you back in the beginning of this whole thing, from EcoHealth Alliance, from North Carolina University, to the multiple locations in China that were still being funded from the NIH. Yet now it's breaking news. I don't know why, right? But nonetheless, he did lie to Congress, and I doubt they'll hold him accountable. But I don't find this to be a new story. Here's Zero Edge. Surprise, surprise, Fauci lied again, right? Pointing to Rand Paul going, surprise, surprise. And I thought I was right about the agency. Pointing to, they hit that link. Pointing to the newly released 900 pages. It's like, why is this the breaking point? Rand Paul proved it with the data in his hand. So why do more, it matters if it bolsters the point, but everyone's acting like this was some new discovery. I don't understand that, other than to point out that I think there's something kind of fishy happening here. Now, let's play a clip that somebody sent to me a while ago, and I'm unfortunately didn't get to it until now. This is a discussion from Sky News, of all places. And surprisingly enough, it actually has more of the full story than even the rest of the stuff we just talked about. So take a listen to this. Actually, I believe, let me check really quickly. I think I have the downloaded version, which I think is easier. It would be maybe not. I'll just grab it real quick. So this is a interview with a person who runs this institution about, specifically around funding, I believe, and in regard to the Wuhan lab and EcoHealth Alliance and all, and the crossover there. Now, remember as well, this was openly discussed when Trump pretended like he pulled back because Wuhan and the whole thing, right? And acted like it wasn't okay. And I'm going to, but the problem was that they stopped the Wuhan funding, even though they already had approved it before that during Trump's administration, but left all the other projects, which still continue to this day, like working with other labs in China with the same damn research, not exact same, but the same end result, gain of function. But who cares? Because Wuhan, that's the narrative. We're only going to make sure for that one. That from the very beginning showed us there was something fishy going on, right? All right, let me play this clip. And we'll talk about it.
Now, a United States not-for-profit group that focuses on animal cruelty and taxpayer waste has played a leading role in uncovering the ties between Anthony Fauci and the Wuhan labs.
Now, right out of the gate, by the way, even this discussion is like heavily slanted towards just Fauci and the lab, which is it, everything they're talking about is not just Fauci, which I'll make that point. They're talking about the NIH and NIAID, which, yes, he runs, but it's not this reductive narrative of Fauci in the lab. It drives me crazy because it's ignorantly reductive. There's a lot more people involved with these decisions. Yes, Fauci does have some pretty unilateral control in a lot of ways. We've already talked about that. But at the end of the day, that's why Trump had to sign off on these things, and he did, or rather specifically the administration. And they did. So you cannot reduce this down to Fauci alone. You just can't.
White coat waste first lifted the lid on how Fauci was funding experiments at the Wuhan Institute of Virology through a subgrant funneled through the EcoHealth Alliance.
Right. But again, even that right there, guys, that was not some new discovery. The fact that they were working with EcoHealth Alliance to fund these projects was on an open document that you could look up. Now, whether or not we knew about it is different. It's not a secret, right? It's not like we had some leaked document that proved that we never knew. It was openly on their documentation about this happening with EcoHealth Alliance. That's why, what's his name? Peter Daszak has said the same thing, and he's not incorrect. It's being made into be some kind of breaking story even now, and it's not really. Other than, and again, there are extra things within this stuff, but the only thing that seemed to focus on is this part of it.
Something you know all about now. When I was writing my book, we spent some time together analyzing just how many experiments America had conducted in Wuhan. We went through all of the Wuhan scientific papers comparing notes. Now, remember, Fauci has repeatedly told Congress that it was just a moderate amount of research that was being undertaken in Wuhan. He's tried to downplay this to an enormous extent.
And he has. That I agree with 100%. And he lied, flat out lied. And my opinion, it's quite obvious that he was lying, body language and all, as well as the fact that the data proves he was lying. But yes, he was dishonest at every single turn, I would argue. So it's not like I'm trying to argue that Fauci is in any way on your side. He is one of the largest problems in this entire thing, but he's simply one cog in a very large deception.
But we discovered that America funded 65 scientific projects at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. 65.
Just the Wuhan lab, right? That's important. And that's also discussed elsewhere. But what's interesting is that we're not talking about the other stuff, the labs I was mentioning. This is just Wuhan.
That's 60 funded by the NIH. Then there were also a further 16 by USAID and some in conjunction with NIH. The Department of Health and Human Services funded 3. The Department of Defense and the Department of Energy funded 1 each.
Department of Defense? Yeah, that's not nefarious at all. Right. So we have the Department of Defense and the Department of Energy funding virus gain of function research. Yeah, that should send chills through your body.
Joining me now to discuss this, the founder and president of White Coat Waste, Anthony Bellotti. Anthony, thank you for joining us tonight from the US, from Washington. Look, we've heard Fauci tell people like Rand Paul in Congress that he doesn't know what he's talking about when he says, you know, the NIH has funded dangerous experiments in Wuhan. But in fact, this isn't just the odd occasional experiment. This isn't just a moderate level of research. 65 projects.
Right.
Anthony, this is far more extensive than people realize.
You said it, Shireen. Thank you again for having us on tonight. It's far more extensive than anybody realizes here in the United States. Taxpayers who are forced to pay the bill have no clue what's
going on. Exactly. That's important.
And the scary part is, Sherry, in addition to everything you just said, Wuhan itself is not even alone. Wuhan is not alone. Right now, the NIH, Fauci's NIH, has authorized 26 other laboratories,
right,
other laboratories in China, for payouts for animal experiments, just like what you've exposed.
And this is like the first time I've ever heard somebody can say what I've been screaming from the beginning. Yes, obviously, there's multiple more locations. But really quickly, though, of course, I have to make a point here, which irritates me because I don't know why he has to say Fauci's lab. Like, I get it. He is the one that is like in regard to NIH and what they're doing. But it's not just Fauci. You can't ever just say Fauci's lab. It's obviously the U.S. government's lab, Fauci being maybe the leader of that direction. It just drives me crazy. He's the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the chief medical advisor of the president. That is run by NIH, which that is run by HHS. So there's a hierarchy here. He has been given some pretty unilateral run for multiple reasons. And I think Del Bigtree did a great job pointing that out and a couple other people I've watched. But nonetheless, to just say Fauci's lab is just reductive and it does not do the justice that it needs to be done, right? Okay, back to the point was that he is discussing that there are multiple labs that are currently being used. So why isn't that being pointed out? Like, even by people like Rand Paul, where are the people that are aware this is happening and are all up in arms about how there's one doing that and we're proving that, and yet there's multiple labs doing the same thing? And I've been screaming about this since the beginning of the whole damn thing. There's something fishy here, guys. And this is why I believe this entire narrative is a limited hangout. There is something going on, but they want you to finalize it in your mind as Fauci lab over. And that's not the case.
At the Wuhan lab, the infamous gain of function experiments, the abject cruelty that's going on in these labs. 26 other labs in China right now are still authorized for payouts.
And he makes a great point in this, I think he's going to get to, in the animal cruelty, because we don't ever talk about that. The really disgusting things they're doing to these. He does mention it. It's really hard to listen to, but you have to hear one. It's gross. And they're using these labs in China because they would not be allowed to do it in the United States. Because they totally care about all the things, right, laws and integrity, right? But we'll outsource it where they will allow it. So it's horrific.
NIH itself wasted $140 million U.S. dollars last year alone, all around the world for animal labs. And the extent of what's going on in China, and specifically the Wuhan lab, is much greater than people realize. It is not an isolated incident. The 65 taxpayer-funded projects is very real. And taxpayers have a right to know who's paying the bills and who's cashing the checks for all this misery. You know, the Wuhan lab is an animal lab, right? That's what they're doing. That's what the electroshocking of animals, the water deprivation, the fear experiments, the horrible things that's going on, in addition to gain of function and extremely dangerous pandemic causing animal testing over there.
Pandemic causing animal testing. I don't know if he meant to say that. He paused there for a second, but that's interesting to me. Pandemic causing animal testing. So it almost seems, if he meant to say that and didn't like pause and go to another thought, it seems to suggest that he's implying that the testing on the animals is what led to the pandemic. It's quite interesting, but I'll really play it again real quick and you see what I mean. It could be that he stopped a sentence and started a new sentence, but listen for yourself.
Gain of function and extremely dangerous pandemic causing animal testing over there.
Hmm.
It's a real problem, Sherry. There's zero transparency, zero accountability, and zero regard for animal welfare.
Right. Absolutely. And what's even worse is that the NIH and Fauci was conducting these experiments in China at the same time that gain-of-function research was banned in the United States. This appears to be deliberately thwarting the rules and the law, getting around it by deciding to conduct this dangerous research that the Environment Administration was so concerned could spark a pandemic and conducting it in China.
Right. And this is what I've been saying from the very beginning, right? Outsourced it to China, right? I mean, for crying out loud, this is exactly what we've been talking about and being censored for every single time, is that this is how this worked. Is they pretended that they outsourced, we stopped this because it's dangerous, right? Fort Detrick's having all these, we're going to outsource it. Right? Maybe because that clip I always play where everybody around Fort Detrick all has cancer and they're all dying. And it's like, oh, no, that's nothing happened. Nothing to see here, right? There's a documentary about it, nothing to see here. Clearly, there's nothing weird going on at Fort Detrick. But they go, oh, well, we're going to stop because it's bad and dangerous. But really, we're going to move it to China, which is what happened. And it's not just Fauci outsourcing, it's the government and the NIH, and they're outsourcing it to China and continuing to do it. So who's in control? The U.S. government, guys. If they moved it from there over to the Wuhan lab, which was built by France involving the United States, and they're involved there, there's people from the United States on the ground, and they're working with this, that they, with their material from North Carolina University, with their research from Fort Detrick over there, then something happens. Whose fault is that? It could be China, certainly possible. We'll get to a point in the point in the next couple articles. But if anything happens, at the very least, if you don't know, the U.S. government is just as culpable. But of course, the right-leaning side of the two-party delusion doesn't want to point to that. It's all China bad guy. Of course, the left side wants to pretend that China has nothing to do with it. You know, see, there's all this ridiculous two-party illusion stuff. The reality is it seems that they're all involved. But yes, they outsourced it because they're criminals. They pretended if they moved over there, we wouldn't know anymore.
Now, Anthony, you've now discovered that Fauci's agency was also conducting dangerous experiments on dogs, and this is through FOI requests that you managed to uncover this information.
Ugh.
What have they been doing with dogs?
It's very sad, Sherry. It's a very, very sad new example we've just uncovered. What you are looking at right now is a laboratory in Tunisia, an experiment on beagle dogs, sweet little beagle dogs, taxpayer-funded torture in Tunisia. That was a payout from Fauci's NIH division, its own NIH department, that was subcontracted.
Right, I see, that was actually the reason I looked that up, because Fauci doesn't even work. Fauci is the NIH. So to say Fauci's NIH is even more inaccurate, right? I mean, I just have to say it again. NIH, Collins is NIH. We just looked at Collins. Director, NIH, right? Fauci is the director of NIAID, which is under NIH. So I don't know why the obsession with calling it Fauci's everything, but there's, I mean, we must take note of that. It means something. Even to say Fauci's NIH. So it's just all-consuming Fauci apparently controls everything, right? Certainly could be possible, certainly. But that's not what what we can prove, right? And that's what matters.
Through a university in Ohio to Africa, to do horrible experiments, what you're looking at right now. Another example of secretive subcontracting from the NIH for animal abuse.
God, this makes me sick. I can't stand these. They are literally torturing these dogs for whatever end. There's nothing that makes that okay.
What you are looking at here are drugged beagles with their heads in mesh cages, filled with hundreds of infected sandflies.
Oh, my God.
They're gnawing at those beagles' ears, those poor drugged beagles, targeting their sensitive ears, big, floppy, hound ears. Sherry, they're being eaten alive.
God,
it's disgusting.
I can't even express how much that bothers me. Like, it's... So they're drugged to the point to where they can't react, but they're there. They're feeling, right? And they're filled with infected sandflies that are hurting their ears. For what? To get some result? God dang it. It drives me. It just really bothers me. It shows you the sociopathic nature, the apathetic nature of these people. They don't care. There's no empathy there. You can't do something like that and act like you care about how people feel, how any living being feels.
What's going on in that picture?
Just shocking. And Anthony, you know, you then also found that they were then killed instead of being rehabilitated.
God.
Should there be an investigation into the NIH, why Absolutely. They've been funding these type of experiments, and specifically into Anthony Fauci, and whether he has misled Congress, given the fact that we have revealed tonight that the scale of the research he was funding, 65 projects.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. He should be investigated. And I do believe Fauci has a leading role in what's happening, so absolutely. I just keep arguing that we shouldn't be so reductive with it, you know, but it could turn out that is the case, right? I'm just saying we can prove that. But they killed the dogs. Right? Add one more step to that. Why in the world would you do that? Because it raises questions. Oh, so let's just get rid of these animals so we don't have to answer questions about the horrible things we did to them. Yeah, these people care about you and life, clearly.
Absolutely. And we're working on that with White Coat Waste Project right now. We're working to find, expose, and defund that by rallying members of Congress in the House of Representatives to hound Fauci about his beagle experiments and to audit and defund these projects in China. Representative Scott Perry is leading a delegation right now on hounding Fauci about the beagle experiments. We've also rallied another powerful delegation to go after what we call that NIH foreign aid that's going into China, so we can really get to the bottom of just how much we're spending. Taxpayers have a right to know who's paying the bills and who's cashing the checks. And right now, we're just not getting that.
It's also kind of ridiculous and counterintuitive to argue that we're constantly pointing at China as some big, massive threat to everything that we are, and yet we're funding them aggressively all the time for things. Like, you know what I mean? It just shows you the false nature of that dichotomy. That's not how that works. They're working together in 100 ways. James Corbett has proven this more times than I can count. Not like behind the scenes connection where suddenly you look over and China's rolling out all the new weaponry that looks mysteriously exactly like all the US weapons with a different label on it. You know, it's that whether that's from the Israeli connection, because Israel's always been selling these things off. Like there's too many conversations to get into right there, but I believe there's an obvious overlap where they're working together to one degree or another on what we're dealing with today. And the narrative is to make you think there's some kind of battle here.
Anthony, what seems so extraordinary sitting here from Australia, you know, this is potentially, you're looking at a situation where, you know, not only cruelty to dogs, but you're looking at a situation where the funding of research in Wuhan may have contributed to this global pandemic if it is proven that SARS-CoV-2 leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Why?
Right. Or was let out. Or was a bioweapon that was used. I mean, it's the leak, again, is where the media tends to like leave this. And that's not even close to what makes sense to me. It's not a leak, right? I mean, I don't understand how that even makes sense. If we're talking about something that was designed this way, it's certainly possible. I mean, they are incompetent. They've shown that over, you know, as I've said before, Fort Detrick, which we'll get into next, has admitted to one leak every 3 days for 7 years straight. That they work with Ebola. They work with coronaviruses. They've admitted it themselves. They were shut down right before this all started because of one of those leaks, right? It was national security. The fact that we can't even bring that up in the conversation says a lot to me. They have a leak from a lab that works on coronaviruses right before this starts, and they shut it down for national security. You can't ask more questions, but that's no connection at all. We can't. No, ask questions. No connection. Fake news. Yeah, right. Interesting.
They are the Democrats protecting Anthony Fauci instead of investigating him and the activities of his agency?
Yeah, unfortunately, last year, this issue, Sherry, here in the United States, got wrongly politicized. It got wrongly polarized along partisan lines because we had a major presidential election.
Right.
Our polling has shown that grassroots Democrats across the country, liberals, progressives, animal lovers, liberty lovers, Republicans, conservatives, are pretty across the board in favor of investigating the lab leak.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, guys. This is exactly the point. What he's telling you right there is this is a nonpartisan thing. The whole thing, it's a nonpartisan issue we're talking about. COVID-19, the whole damn thing. When you really dig into it, all they really show you is the extreme left, the extreme right, and that's all that matters, right? That's the whole world. Everybody else is a fringe weirdo on the corner. That's not the truth. You are the majority out there. Those that don't fit into those two categories, that's the majority. They don't want you to realize that. The point is what he's telling you is when you actually look into this, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, they all generally agree there's a problem here. All they show you is the high-level mainstream media discussion of the two sides. That's it. So I'm really glad that he brought this up because at first, you know, why aren't the Democrats investigating? You can see the mainstream trying to put that two-party paradigm on this. But his answer shows you that it's not. I really like that answer.
Hypothesis. Investigating the payouts to Wuhan, liberty lovers, Republicans, across the country lines because we had a major presidential election in 2020. Our polling has shown that grassroots Democrats, across the country. Liberals, progressives, animal lovers, liberty lovers, Republicans, conservatives are pretty across the board in favor of investigating the lab leak hypothesis, investigating the payouts to Wuhan. That's what Democrats across the country actually
want. Right. And you know what that shows you? It shows you the illusion they jam down your throat the same way they do with the COVID-19 narrative and the facts they say trust the science. The truth is, like, as they try to frame it as, you know, conspiracy theorists, white supremacist conservatives over here talking about the lab leak, and then the Democrats and the CNN and the media, you know, arguing that it's all fake news and they're all spreading dangerous misinformation. That's the fake news, the, you know, illusion they put in front of you as everybody in the world or everyone in the country. And in reality, it's not the truth. Now, this is his statement and his polling, could be wrong. The point is, what he's arguing is that when you actually poll the country, all around the country, you find out that most of them agree we should investigate this and we shouldn't be doing gain of function. We should find out there's a lab leak or a bioweapon and so on. That is not what the media represents to you. And that's because that's never the truth. The media is never bringing you the full picture. I hope you see why that relates to everything else we've talked about today.
On Capitol Hill, we've had slow, but there has been steady momentum of some bipartisan support for exactly that, to investigate. Not enough. Progress is slow. We need more work to be done there. Because there's, unfortunately, everything last year in this country got hyper-partisan, hyper-polarized.
Yep.
It was absolutely unnecessary, and there's nothing partisan about this.
Exactly.
Sure. Yes, it's
exactly.
Absolutely, completely agree. It's so disappointing. Anthony Bellotti, thank you very much for all of the hard work.
It is so disappointing, as I just tried to do the exact same thing. Thanks, Sky News. Like, I mean, I got to be honest. I thought she did a reasonably good job. I was actually, you know, for mainstream media, this was fantastic. Even though, you know, there were multiple times where she tried to kind of pit it back into the two-party illusion, which is what they do. But good for him. Fantastic. Right? So bringing us back to the point as we finish this off today, here is what just came out today. Today. Chinese whistleblower claims first COVID outbreak was intentional and happened in October 2019, which is very interesting, at the Military World Games in Wuhan. 2 months before China was notified, the world about the virus. So this is an interesting turn on the narrative, right? So China did it intentionally at the Wuhan Games, which kind of crosses over two different arguments, right? Now, here's the interesting part. It's a whistleblower, right? So somebody from China is coming over, whatever, speaking with, I guess, you know, Western media, which is interesting, and telling you that, no, they released it on purpose on the Wuhan Games, right? And then probably with the argument to, as the, you know, they get into, to blame the United States, right? Or at the very least, use it for their own experimental purposes. I thought the Chinese government would take this opportunity to spread the virus during the military games, as many foreigners would show up there, right? Like, so it's just about, you know, we don't, you know, the whistleblower claimed that he had heard Chinese government carrying it out an unusual exercise, right? So bottom line is, it says he claims we're supported by the formal principal China advisor to the U.S. State Department. Okay, which suggests some kind of crossover. But the point is, for all we know, consider what he's saying, right? It's researched it. I'm agreeing with myself. It's certainly something that sounds possible, especially when you consider that they might be doing this together, right? Because this does back up a lot of things we've been saying, such as the fact that the U.S. performance there, or the fact that there were reports of U.S. military that were sick in both locations, both the wet market and it's a bunch of this conversation, right? But consider the possibility that this was something that was put out by the U.S. government for the very necessary, which they always do, of laying the narrative the way they want it to go. And what's interesting, and the reason I'm going to make this next point, this should be considered and it could be possible. But I promise you that the Republican side of this and the two-party illusion are going to believe what this guy says 100% because it's claiming that China did it. Right? And it was intentional. And he's a Chinese whistleblower. So we got to trust him, right? Okay. That's going to be a given. The other side's probably going to deny that, right? But here's the next part of the story. Wuhan scientists plan to release coronavirus particles into bat caves, leaked papers reveal. And there's two of them, actually. This one and this one. COVID-19 appeared in the U.S. before Wuhan, Chinese scientists claim. Okay. So I can promise you that the Republican side of this argument is going to dismiss these because China bad guy. You, why would you trust a Chinese study? They're going to lie to you. Okay. So why would you not trust the Chinese study, yet you're willing to trust the Chinese whistleblower? Because it's a choice, right? It's a choice to believe the one that aligns what you already think and to dismiss the one that goes the other way. And the reverse is the same as well. To dismiss the one that, you know, it's the same point, right? You're going to be like, nah, that's fake news because that go either way. My point is all of these should be acceptable and considered, and we should prove whichever one we can. I personally feel that this Chinese whistleblower intentional release is a little bit suspicious to me for a lot of reasons, because it seems to cover at most or at more than anything, the U.S. government side of this, right? So this wasn't them bringing it over there and dragging it along. This is them being caught and attacked by China. This leads into everything, but it certainly makes sense, especially if they're working together. Something to consider, and we will dig into this more as we go forward. But let's look at this one too. So what this is interesting to me is what this, and this is what the tweet says, Guy Jordan shared this with me, looks like the scientists involved in the Fauci gain of function research, same thing, knew the spike protein of coronaviruses could operate independently, which is very interesting to me. Because what it's saying is, based on what they're telling you, leaked papers reveal that these scientists had actually planned to release just the particles, the spike proteins, into the caves. Now, they wouldn't do this if they didn't understand or at least consider that that had the kind of purpose that we're now seeing that it does, that you can spread just the spike protein, you know, via an injection or something else, and it could spread itself or create the problem. So this suggests that there was something that they knew, and they knew now, and that this would suggest or indicate there's more going on with this thing today. But of course, it's leaked and it's coming from China. So you could say that China put this out there for this purpose, or vice versa, right? Then this one, COVID-19 appeared in the U.S. before Wuhan. Chinese scientists claim. Now, yes, this very clearly helps the Chinese narrative, Chinese government narrative, I should say, where the Chinese government says, well, they had it over there in the United States. They brought it over to the Wuhan, the military games, and our scientists proved it. Of course, this is my point. Really, the main point is really just between these two, right? This one and this one. One is saying, we proved it. It was over there. They brought it. This one's saying, no. They released it and it was intentional. These are the two arguments, and they're contrasting each other. And interestingly, one's on the side of the U.S., one's on the side of Chinese government, both coming from China, and both are being differently agreed upon. So this one says, using mathematical models, a quartet of Chinese scientists has argued that the first case of COVID-19 appeared between April and November 2019. Now, by the way, regardless of where it's coming from, that has been backed up long before China said it. U.S. government scientists have said that. People from other countries have said that. Japan said that. One of the leading experts in Taiwan said this is basic. This is like following the branches of a tree. It goes right back to the United States. I've done 1,000 reports on this. It says the between April and November 2019 in the northeastern U.S., of course, Fort Detrick side, long before the outbreak in Wuhan, China. Quote, the calculation results show that the COVID-19 epidemic in the United States was a high probability beginning to spread around September 2019. September. That's exactly what makes sense with everything else we know. Says the 14-page paper published on Wednesday. Now, understand, I'm not taking the side of what this is arguing. Because remember, my feeling is that China is involved with this with the United States, whether Wuhan, Fort Detrick, or both. So as I'm arguing this, remember, I very strongly feel that. Beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind, my opinion, based on the research, that China is working in some degree with the United States along with this. It doesn't mean that along the narrative they haven't like screwed each other over or lied or cheated, or now maybe they're not on the same side now. Right? You understand that these people are still adversarial, but at the end of the day, I believe there was a coordinated effort. There's no way you can see such a worldwide coordinated build back better, all this different stuff, without some kind of global coordination. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Especially since, don't forget, China was at the table for Event 201. Going forward, it says, given that officially the first case of COVID-19 was registered in the U.S. on January 20th, 2020, about a month after the outbreak in the Chinese city of Wuhan. Which seems like a really crazy, a month. I mean, it could. Chinese researchers, however, argue that there is 50% probability of first cases in 11 U.S. states and the District of Columbia prior to that, as early as April 2019 in Rhode Island and as late as November in Delaware. Much of the paper focuses on Maryland, the location of Fort Detrick, which is a BSL-4 bioweapons lab. It's what it is, guys. And it's not a secret. And this is where the research came from that they outsourced to Wuhan. A U.S. Army, as well as, what was the other one? I'm suddenly blanking on the other name, but let's go forward. A U.S. Army base used to research bioweapons during the Cold War and now hosts the U.S. Biological Defense Program. Same thing, different name. Although the paper does not specifically mention Fort Detrick, multiple Chinese officials have repeatedly suggested the virus may have come from there. And again, because they stated it, becomes fake news to people that don't want to trust China. But that's regardless of whether they said it. There's a lot that points to Fort Detrick. And I said that before China ever said that. It says, as counter to U.S. speculation that it originated from gain-of-function research on bat viruses conducted at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But same point. Even if that's the case, you cannot point to Wuhan without at least half of the culpability, if not far more, going to the United States government, guys. You just can't. So when you keep hearing the CCP virus and all these just ridiculous, very focused, one-sided arguments, don't trust those people. They're either wildly misguided or they're choosing to omit parts of the story, just like mainstream media. Now it says, the so-called lab leak hypothesis focuses on the funding of U.S. National Institutes of Health, the NIH, provided to a nonprofit called EcoHealth Alliance, which partnered with the Wuhan Institute of Virology to conduct that coronavirus research, but all on the record. Earlier this week, the web-based investigative collective Drastic published documents allegedly leaked by a whistleblower showing that EcoHealth Alliance was asked DARPA for funding in 2018 to release modified viruses into bat caves in southern China by the proposal, but the proposal was rejected as too risky. The four researchers also claimed that a series of previous studies showed that the United States, Spain, France, Italy, Brazil, and other countries had been attacked by the coronavirus before its outbreak in China. Now, if you remember my coverage on this, here's the actual study. If you want to read through it yourself, we've talked about all this before. Now, here's a couple of the ones that some of my community dragged up for me because I couldn't find the other ones, but there's more than this. But here's one of them back from April 29, 2020. Right, dismantling the superficial China did it narrative, origin unknown, which I was telling you right there. Right, I'm not saying I know, I'm saying their argument is clearly superficial. And the CDC suspends flu reporting. Look at that, all the way back in April 29, 2020. Yeah, we weren't ahead of that or anything, but this data's here. Of course, YouTube censored it because that's what they do. The point is, guys, that this is very obvious from the very beginning, and there's a couple more I included. Here's the one where I discussed this, I believe, with Whitney. I think it was Whitney and I discussed this. Alarming U.S. coronavirus continuity of government plan, and even Italy is now suggesting China not the origin. Right? This is back on March 23rd, 2020. Here's another one. I think this was Spiro and I. That's his interview. I just posted it on my website. The point is, guys, at least seven or eight other countries have come out back in 2020, into early 2021, and openly stated that this was in their country before they saw it in China. Some all the way back to mid-2020, even 2019. Taiwan, Japan, Italy, Spain, even people in the United States. I mean, it's all over the place. And yet we can't talk about this? How does that even make sense? It only makes sense if they're trying to deceive you, trying to keep the information from your view. That's the point. So back to the Chinese whistleblower. This should be taken with a huge grain of salt, but I'm really interested in whether or not this person is telling the truth and whether or not that indicates that this was a plan more than we realize, that this was meant to be intentionally released, if that's the case, and the U.S. was involved in that. So this would be the beginning. So it would be both the U.S. and China. Now, this is just hypothesis, guys, but we have to understand how much of this has been pointing to orchestrated, to foreknowledge. The fact that they sold the stocks and made all the money and all these different examples, how we saw them know what was going to happen. How did they know that? Probably because there was a plan. This is all my opinion. Now, always, I'm hypothesizing, but the data is hard to miss. So I'm going to flesh this out as much as I can, but I'm just trying my point with this. Hopefully you'll go back and watch my in-depth discussions of exactly what they're flushing out now, long before this was the main discussion, because it's all there. And I hope you will take the two-party narrative into consideration and realize that I think it's much more going on here. But to finish off today, guys, I'm going to leave you with a video. It's about 5 minutes, but please finish and watch it. Please watch it, because it's really important to see these people because they need your help. These people are struggling, and your government all over the world, US or otherwise, doesn't care about them unless you're in very specific locations that are challenging the full narrative. But I want to leave you with this video. Please share it. Please share all of this and help people continue to fight what's going on. Thank you guys for being here today. It's only going to get harder, guys. I mean, even when we're succeeding, it's only going to get harder. So don't forget that. Stay the course. It's never been more important in our entire lives to stand up for something. As Savad says in one of his videos, which I've played in the past, if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. It's a great quote. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Okay. Ready?
Moderna, New York. We need to be heard.
Our voices are real, and our stories are true. We've been abandoned, and we need help.
I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to be believed. Please hear us. Please help.
Now what can we all do to make this wrong or right? Some it's now too late to bring the darkness light, but for those that are still here, we can lend our sympathy and lead with love, not fear, and make the blinded see. People locked in pain should never be ignored, but heed their warnings now of dark roads once explored, and save the of this twisted fate, injured and ignored in a world that's now too late. And we can see that they need to be heard, and the powers that be try to silence their words. silence
changed with one Moderna vaccination.
This is my five-year-old. She rode her two-wheeler for the first time the other day. I couldn't make it all the way around the block with her due to my pain and fatigue.
AstraZeneca, Australia. 4 months on, I still can't get out of bed. I can't sleep properly. I can't work. I can't drive my car.